week. All I want to say is that Dia Lathera did an incredible thing, likely saving Aiden Jackson's life, especially with, I presume, an incomplete amount of detail about his personal life. This is the best headline in tonight's news. Stay tuned for plenty more, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 806 for this January the 12th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and welcome back this week, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
It's great to have you back with us.
Thank you.
Are you enjoying your coffee?
I am.
Thank
you. I just finished my soup, though.
And I always appreciate that you will restock any coffee that you take with more coffee.
Well, I just remember...
Let the coffee flow!
Well, I came by last weekend to bring Alan some books, which I still have them and have some more in my car.
Oh, really? Okay.
And y'all were gracious enough to give me some coffee, and we got into the discussion about...
It's just coffee.
Coffee-flavored coffee. And that Alan wanted coffee-flavored coffee.
Okay, here's the thing. This is why we talk about coffee-flavored coffee, because I am a big fan of, you know,
we
use the little pre-made, pre-packaged cup things that a lot of people use, yeah. Right? So I like, we have cinnamon roll right now. Love that.
I'm liking the gingerbread with the Snickers in it.
There's gingerbread we got on discount because Christmas is over. We got, you know, I like to get the hazelnut and the vanilla, and I have coconut mocha at work. But Alan is like, I just want coffee-flavored coffee. He doesn't
like
all that stuff.
Dennis Leary. I don't want your maple nut crunch. I want coffee-flavored coffee. But yeah, so when I go to Home Goods a lot and I go to Ross, and uh-huh. You can get K-Cups at both places relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, I always forget it. We always, you know, Target.
The grocery outlet. I figure if I'm going to name two places, I'll name three to be fair.
Fair.
but I happened to be at Ross looking for some organizational stuff, mm-hmm. and found just like legit medium roast coffee. Okay. And I was like, if I'm going to drink the coffee at Rob and Alan's place, I'm going to get coffee that I will drink and that they will like. So I got the medium roast.
Well, we appreciate it.
You're welcome. And so do I.
For what
I appreciate myself.
For what it's worth, the decaf I usually drink is coffee flavored.
Yeah.
Even though it's decaf.
It's hard to find flavored decafs.
It is. It is. I know a lot of you would say, what's the point? But it's that, like the dessert coffee. I like that, you know, coffee as dessert.
Well, I have found, though, this gingerbread is really good with that Snickers creamer in it. Mm-hmm. Just saying, it's really good.
All right.
But if you're at my house, though, all the coffee at my house is typically coffee flavored coffee. I get my beans from Phil's. Mm-hmm. I will preach the gospel of Phil's coffee until I die, mm-hmm. or sometimes I'll do Temple.
And that's mostly I don't think Phil's really exists outside NorCal, does it?
No, I went to my first Phil's in LA.
Oh, okay.
But it's mostly California, West Coast stuff.
Maybe
but,
like one in Arizona.
But they
one
ship.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And I will tell, I'll do this. One person out there, and I will just do this because I'm a nice person. If you can pick my favorite kind of chocolate.
Okay.
My absolute favorite brand of chocolate.
Okay.
I will send you a bag of Phil's Filtered Soul.
Do they have to send you the chocolate? Or do they just yell it out in chat? How does this work?
They have to... They have to email participate.
Oh, okay.
And the first one that guesses my favorite brand of chocolate,
okay,
will get a like a half pound, or I have to see what I can get, but either a half pound or whole pound bag of Phil's Filtered Soul.
Okay, look at Dark Soccer getting that mail.
You
bag
also
going.
Can't be in California.
All right, participate. At orangeloungeradio.com. Why are you excluding you're excluding California because they can just walk over
there. You can get it here.
Okay.
Unless you're like in the remote boonies in California, which they exist. Just saying.
Sure, of course.
But I don't care if you're in California. They'll just do it.
Clearly these rules were not thought out beforehand.
Okay. No, I just made it up. So, but you have to guess what my favorite brand of chocolate is. And I will give everyone one hint.
Mm-hmm.
Rob always brings me some back from Chicago.
Okay, I know what it is. All right.
You're not getting any coffee. You can just come to my house.
You got to email participate at orangelaunchradio.com. That mailbag is going to blow up later in the show. Hello as well, of course, to Techmaster Loki, who's
hey, what's
here
up?
With us every week. Hi, good. I see you're over there playing Orna.
I have to get the best or the most out of the double experience thing.
The latest OLR obsession amongst listeners and hosts alike. What's up with that, though? You left the party. Now you can't see the blacksmith I built. Right here.
I got one of them in my house.
Okay, fine.
It's fine. I had to leave the party because I was just carrying you guys, and, you know, I needed to, like, get level up, and I was like, it's just taking so long, and I'm getting so much experience. I'm like, oh, all of them are getting some experience, so I had to bail.
Oh, I thought, but we weren't giving it back to you?
It didn't seem like it was going up very...
I heard in the last patch they did something with the balancing where... like, you don't benefit from power leveling like it used to be. Like, you got in the game, like, right, unfortunately, at the wrong time for that.
Yeah, so I just... Because once I left the party, like, I've gone up, like, 10 levels. So it's much faster just by myself for now.
Well, that's fair.
But if I build anything near your house, I'll just... Or I'll... What I've been doing is if I build anything, I may just make it public and so that everybody can benefit
from
it.
That's fine. Just don't touch my territories that I control.
I saw that earlier. I was like, should I challenge his territory? I'm like, nah.
I've been capturing...
It doesn't really, like, do much.
I've been capturing territory in a bunch of strange places. Like, I'll just be like... I was out, like, walking along the river... The other day, just half fitness, half there's an Ingress portal out there I was trying to get. And I was like, let me bring up Orna. And I was like, wow, there's like a completely unclaimed region out here because who the fuck ever comes out here? Like way in the back boonies.
Right, yeah.
You know, only a crazy ass Ingress player, which why I'm surprised is Zed didn't have it. But I guess she didn't think to bring up Orna back there. So I grabbed it. And I've been finding it in all sorts of like weird places, just like regions to control and things like that. But there's no map you can bring up to see where these places are. Just get a list.
Right, they do, and they're supposed to have, like, I haven't seen it yet, but, or at least it hasn't been pushed to my device, but they have a beta map that's coming where you can actually zoom out a little bit and kind of rotate it and all that stuff, but I haven't been able to see that.
Interesting.
Yet.
I must have completely missed that, so... Alrighty. Well, anyway, let's get into tonight's show. It is a podcast about video games. I mean, sometimes, you know.
We just were talking about video games.
Location cell phone gamings is a big part of that. So we'll talk a little bit about Pokemon Go later. I know that's in the news. There's been a lot of Pokemon news this week. But first, we want to take a step back and take a look at last year because we have yet to really talk about our top video games of 2019. We have put it off a little bit because we wanted time to play more games, and then we weren't able to do it last week because Dark Sakura was unexpectedly gone. But she's back tonight, and so we can talk about our top games of 2019.
Well,
so.
And I gave full disclosure on saying what happened.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it, you know.
So... But I wanted just to take a moment and thank everyone who did reach out. So Dan and I appreciate it. We've been going through. We found some very interesting things like turtles with genitalia.
Like ceramic turtles, not like.
Yeah, ceramic
turtles. Yes.
But we've also found like just like little things that Dan had done when he was a kid.
Mm.
Like those art plates.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And some of his, like, a little bit of video game stuff around. We reclaimed our laser discs.
Okay.
So, but just very interesting things.
All right. Well, you know, that's the nice thing about having done this show for so long and doing it live is that, you know, people around here genuinely care about each other. So including the listeners care about us and I care about most of you. No, I don't want to cheapen the moment with a joke. I do care as well. So definitely we all look out for each other. So I know a lot of people looking out for you guys last week. So it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
But tonight we're going to move into our top games of 2019. So I know it's a little bit delayed, but we're not quite to January 15th yet. I think for some people, the holidays don't end until tomorrow. So we'll get into that now. Let's talk about our top games of the year. So each of us has picked three games using any criteria we want. Okay. This is not, it's not your games, it's our games. So these lists are not wrong. They're not rigged because we used whatever criteria we damn well pleased in order to come up with our top three games of the year. So here they are. I'll pick on Loki. Why don't you go first? Your number three pick, your number three game of the 2019.
Let's see. So my number three game is going to be Minecraft Earth, I guess.
Okay. Oh, interesting. A game that's still kind of not done.
Well, neither is the official Minecraft.
True. Although I noticed I actually brought up Minecraft Earth this week, and there's already more like tutorial stuff there that wasn't there before.
Yeah, there's not much tutorial you really need for that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's been kind of fun. I play it every now and then. I don't play it a ton because there's not a whole lot of reason to go and collect things aside from getting experience. But even the experience is just kind of like, it unlocks some more places that you can build stuff. But any of the stuff that I build, I end up just, you know, basically bulldozing the whole thing and just starting from scratch. But you can get different biomes and stuff and whatnot. But you never really run out of, like, blocks to build with because you collect so many in the course of playing the game. So, I don't know. If it wasn't such a battery sink, I'd probably play it a whole ton more, but yeah, it really just drains that battery.
Well, and from a technological perspective, it is accomplishing like something kind of new, something really neat, you know?
Yeah, the AR stuff's pretty fun. It's actually really cool.
Yeah, like, you know, Pokemon Go just got the whole AR buddies, take pictures of your Pokemon buddies together.
Yeah, this is way more elaborate. Yeah,
this Minecraft Earth thing is already like steps and steps like, beyond that.
Like the AR stuff, and it works pretty good too, actually. So the AR stuff that they have the little adventures, it's basically just playing Minecraft with like a small square block, like 16 by 16 or whatever, and a lot of it you're just kind of walking over, you're kind of hovering over it, and you're just kind of digging stuff out, and a lot of times it could be just killing some enemies, and then there may be some golden diamond down there, or it could be you're solving a puzzle, and then you get more, like, you know, resources that way. But it's pretty interesting, and they have a ton of them at parks, and they pop in and out like every few minutes. And I mean, so you can keep doing that over and over and get a lot of resources that way. But then there's also the fact if you die, you lose everything that you have in your inventory, like Minecraft. So you have to be careful what you, well, not your full inventory. You basically have, you know, like in regular Minecraft where you have a bar full of stuff in it. So you can take into those adventures one row of things. And then you just have to be careful, like, if you start to die, then you know, exit out. but you just have to be careful. The only time that the game's been kind of cheap on me is, like, I'll be, like, mining stuff. I've already killed all the enemies, and all of a sudden there's a skeleton that comes from behind. I'm like, the fuck? You know, why is there a skeleton here all of a sudden? But usually a lot of that, like, if I'm getting bum-rushed by a few things, I can just, like, exit! Close it! And then you're fine.
All right. Minecraft Earth, good pick. Something I think we'll see more of probably as we move into 2020. Dark Sakura, we'll go to you. What's your number three game of 2019?
Death Stranding. Because
I kind of figured that would show up on your list somewhere.
I didn't play it, but I enjoyed watching the fuck out of it. And for me, that's all I really wanted out of it was just the story. I thought the story was really interesting and kind of a mind fuck, and that's kind of up my alley. So, I mean, it was the closest I could get to having that weird brainfuck of Silent Hill, so I was cool with it.
And
Bridge Baby is adorable.
And Lindsay Wagner.
Bridge Baby.
And people apparently really enjoy urinating in front of Conan O'Brien's little area.
Bridge Baby.
Yeah.
I think Dark Sakura would be one of them if she was playing it regularly, but...
Well, I'd have to have a go-girling game.
What do you think about...
Because that's the only way I could whip out a dick and pee.
Well, that's okay. You're taking on the role of Norman Reedus, so you're whipping out his dick to...
Well, then, some people would really be into that. Dear Mr. Reedus, are you aware that people are whipping out your dick?
I didn't consent to this.
I posted something on Twitter where it's like, is it weird that we force him to go to the bathroom and poop, and then we get served an ad for
well,
his
you know, with the
show?
Amount of rock or was it is Monster Energy drinks he's drinking in the game, then it's no wonder he has to use the bathroom all the time because Jesus Christ, what's that doing to your insides as I sip my 12-ounce Red Bull?
I know you haven't like you know really. Sat down and played the game, and you're more into it for the story. But I know for the longest time here on OLR, the what the fuck is Death Stranding was kind of like
I still don't know.
It was kind of like the running gag on the show. But like now that we understand, like this is the game, this is the point, this is what you're playing. What do you think about how that all turned out? Because for me, I was always expecting it to be something a little more action-y or something, and it's like very much not that, but I'm okay with that. Like, I'm totally okay with what it is.
Hmm. Well, in the end, it's, I think, about the connections that we have with each other, and also about the dangers inherent to having connections with others. You know, it's definitely that sort of isolationist versus expansionist point of view. You know, if you even think about it on a global scale, it can really be applied almost in a political spectrum. It's very allegorical to things that we see going on around us today. For me, I just like the fact that it lets you know that there is really no one right way versus a wrong way. But sometimes if you... It's just really kind of hard to describe, you know.
Sure.
And then also the thing that I liked too is that it went through sort of the discussion of duty versus individual desire.
Hmm.
And why what some people will do for like Die Hard Man and his duty and what he did in the name of his duty. And then how it affected him the rest of his life. Sort of like it's the I was just following orders thing versus making your own moral decision for yourself.
Hmm. Deep.
The individual characters just were really... Dead Man was another interesting one. Kind of a moral thing. Is this a person? Does it have a soul? You know, I'm not trying to go too much in because people are still playing it, you know. But there was so much depth and thought that went into everything in it. And people are just like, people are uncomfortable with, I think, doing the deep dive in the story elements with it. And so for them, it's easier just to make fun of it or say, oh, it was weird, blah, blah, blah. People are like that. People don't want to take a deep dive into disturbing topics. But the moment that you do, you find part of your view of life is a little bit expanded. And I honestly think that the game did ask some of those more ambiguous moral questions of the player. What do you think of this? Forcing them to look at these things, life and death and moral decisions and the communication and connections of other people, and kind of evaluate that in themselves.
Hmm. Deep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to spend more time with it. Honestly, I got sidetracked by other games, but, you know, it's I enjoyed what I played of it, for sure.
That's why I like games like that. Like, I like Detroit for some of the same things, you know. It's just, I like a question that a game asks. When it asks a question that's going to have a deep impact philosophically on your worldview. Just saying.
And the other thing I want to mention about that game is the soundtrack. You know, love the Church's song. A lot of hipster music, I suppose, but it's all really good. You know, there's some really good stuff in there. So, all right, Death Stranding it is. My number three pick is going to be like kind of like an obvious, like, oh, of course he's going to say something like that. But I think this really deserves it in many ways. And I'm going to say the Final Fantasy XIV Shadowbringers expansion will be my number three game of the year, just because I think the expansion was very strong with what it brought to the game. You know, just kind of upping the formula that they started with Realm Reborn, but really, you know, perfecting it, making a lot of job classes a little more tighter and a little more fun. Like, for example, you know, they took the job Machinist, and it was a little bit clunky, relied a little bit too bit on luck. They injected a little bit of Edgar from Final Fantasy VI into it. So, like, now you have a bio blaster and an auto crossbow and stuff. And let me tell you, it is really fucking fun. And drill. Drill's important, too. So, like, it's like they take a lot of this fantasy stuff. You're like, I don't know how this would ever work in an MMO, but they do it, and it's great. And never mind the story, which, you know, was really good. You know, not to get too spoilery, but the kind of the trick about it is that it doesn't really take place in the same world that the rest of the game does. I'll sort of kind of keep it vague. But I think that actually really helps for an expansion kind of story, that it's a little bit more like, oh, now our adventurers are over here doing this thing, but there's all these complicated problems that go with that. And I think it allowed the story to play out, you know, very, very well. I didn't love the ending compared to some of the other expansions, but
I have enjoyed the patch content. This week, I finally finished up the most recent patch, the 5.1 patch, and I did like how that kind of wrapped up and where that went in that story. And, of course, the developers continue to do an amazing job supporting the game post-launch with regular patches, which not every MMO is doing that well anymore. So I think they really get kudos for running just a really strong premier MMO right now and what might be the strongest expansion they'll ever do, which they just put out. I mean, I hope, of course, whatever they do next might even go a step beyond that. You know, if this is as good as it gets, it's been pretty damn good. So I will take it. So there you go. I pick Final Fantasy XIV Shadowbringers. It's my number 3 game of the year. So let's get to the second choices on the list. So far, everybody's got different games. I was thinking there'd be more overlap. I think there will be later, but we'll see. Here we go. Loki, your number 2 game.
My number 2 game is going to be What the Golf. Is one of my
not
that
surprised.
Is pretty fun.
Not surprised.
I've been enjoying it.
One of my favorite indie games of the year. So, I've enjoyed playing it quite a bit. Still haven't finished it yet. So I'll have to go back to it at some point. But definitely worth checking out, especially if you have Apple Arcade or something like that. Because it's part of that.
What is it about this game that you love so dang much? Is it just because
it's got this strange, like, kind of Katamari feel to it, just like with the music and everything. And it's just a strange, like, it's not even really about golf. It's just kind of a strange, like, puzzle game. And I don't know. It's got a weird aesthetic to it that's charming.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. What the Golf, number 2. Dar Sakura, how about you? Your number 2 pick.
I'm going to pick Resident Evil 2. Because I fucking enjoyed the shit out of it.
A lot of people did. You're not alone.
Resident Evil 2, honestly, I liked better than the first one. And I really loved the first one, but Resident Evil 2 is the one that cemented my love for the series. And the voice acting was top notch. I kind of liked where they had some variations from the original version. And I'm also glad this is going to lead to a Resident Evil 3. So I also love watching people break that game. It's just fucking hilarious. But I really enjoyed it. There's a lot to look at, little Easter eggs, lots of things that, you know, if you can get the game where you can look around the scenery, it's just absolutely in-depth and beautiful. And I really enjoyed it. Although it makes me think, why the hell do people build these weird-ass puzzles in a police station? Like, really, people, what the fuck were you thinking? Were you a cult? So anyway, that's it.
No, Silent Hill was about the cult. You're not alone in our chat, ActDeft in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, because we do, I don't think I've said this line yet tonight, but we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And if you're here live, you can chat along with our show. And we read some of the comments here, including folks agreeing with Dark Soccer, including ActDeft, who says Resident Evil 2 deserves the praise. It was a really well done remake. And Questbuster says, I enjoyed the shit out of the Resident Evil 2 remake also. The speedruns for Resident Evil 2 are really fun to watch. Okay. All right, so a lot of love for Resident Evil 2. I guess at some point I'll have to get around to playing the remake. You know, y'all know how I am with the gory games, but I remember playing the original on PlayStation.
It's not that gross.
It's not that gross, so I'll deal with it. All right, my number 2 pick in the meantime, though, I'm going to go with an indie pick as well. And this is just one of those games that is just style, style, style. And the music was stellar, stellar, stellar. And I love the presentation. It was kind of a short, simple game. But y'all know I love the games that are just art and simple and a hell of a lot of fun. And that's why I would say Sayonara Wild Hearts is my number 2
game.
That's
a good one.
Yeah. No,
I really enjoyed it.
I loved it. And the soundtrack is great. I can listen along to it in the car. The gameplay is simple, yet there is so much to pursue in the name of perfection. Certainly my music gaming roots have a lot to do with that. Even though I wouldn't necessarily call Sayonara Wild Hearts a music game, it feels a little more like...
It has elements.
It has elements, exactly. I'd say it's more like, I think I've always called it, it's the Sonic 2 bonus level as a game. It's like kind of racing, kind of not. So, but that's...
I've really been enjoying it on Apple Arcade.
Yeah. I've been done most of my play on the Switch, but I can totally see how this game would work easy on phones because it is basically just motion. I'm sure you could just drag and then tap or something because it's just motion and a button.
That's so pretty much how it is.
Yeah, exactly. ActDeft in chat says, I need to pick up Sayonara Wild Hearts. It's on sale this week on the Switch. So, yeah, I think sale's a good time to pick up the game. So there you go. All right. That leaves us with the best around. Number one, game of the year. Loki, your game of the year.
My number one pick of the year, I guess, is going to be Borderlands 3.
Number one? Are we on number one already?
Yeah.
I thought we were on number two. I just
no, you just did Resident Evil 2.
No, you did Resident Evil 2. Was number two.
Okay. Brain. Okay.
No, that's all right. All right. Number one is
Borderlands 3.
Ah, okay.
Because it's more Borderlands.
You don't think... Now, I've heard some people got a little tired of the formula this time around, but not for you?
No, it's still fine. I haven't played through the DLC stuff yet, but it's all right. Yeah, it's not as exciting as the first game when you first get into it, because we've done this a few times now, but it's still all right. It's still enjoyable. Yeah.
All right. So they're going to still continue to support that with more DLC expansions. Stuff,
yeah, they
right?
have, like... three more pieces of DLC out, yeah. Or two or three.
Not even close to the end. At some point, I'll have to jump into it, but I never finished Borderlands 1. But I did kind of, like, get more into Borderlands 1, and, I probably dropped, like, at least 15 hours in that game, if not more. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun with that series. So, all right, cool. Borderlands 3. Yep. I guess I don't know why I didn't even think of that for you, but makes sense. Your number one pick, game of the year. Cool. All right. Dark Sakura, it's all about you. Number one. First, top of the list.
Bloodstained.
Ooh, okay.
Bloodstained was beautiful. It was my Symphony of the Night wet dream. It was challenging. It was in-depth. It had so many things in it, and now with the new game plus, it's pretty fun to go back and grab things that we didn't have and start off the game ridiculously overpowered. Absolutely beautiful. The voice acting was great. I really can't say enough good about it. The PS4 to me, after having seen the other ones in motion, is the definitive one to play. It, I think, is the most balanced, and definitely, it was well worth the wait.
Although I will say, if you have an Xbox Game Pass, PC, or I think Xbox One, you can grab it. So, like, you know, there's not a lot stopping you and jumping in and enjoying the game as well. And I know you're not alone in that because, well, for one, our chat room's lighting up quite a bit. But also I've met other people that think Bloodstained is just like the best thing they've absolutely played all year. And yeah,
I enjoyed it.
I
really had a great time with it. And the thing for me is that it really did just hit that thing I was missing in some of those other Castlevania games that followed the formula. This really had the touch back to it. And of course, you know, some of the character nods back to the... I love the portraits of the developers in the background that will just attack you.
I love that, and I love the one where... Because I figured those were Kickstarter rewards, so most of those are, like, actual people. But one of them is a cat.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I love the giant cats.
I wish I'd paid for Mr. Smush to be one of the paintings in that. Maybe if they do a Bloodstained 2 and they offer portrait rewards... I'll try to get some money together and get a portrait of Mr. Smush.
I want them to bring back my guy, though. Zangotsu. Oh. So, because he was my guy. Did you get that far?
No, I didn't get that far.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Stop spoilers.
All right. No, that's all right. That's all right. All right. So, Bloodstained, game of the year. And from a girl that probably enjoyed Castlevania Symphony of the Night even
and
more.
And Rondo of Blood.
Than most people. Yeah. Which is a lot.
So. Did I tell you that Dan sat me down when I first moved out here, put the game in front of me, and said, you're fucking playing this. And this was like the determining factor of our relationship.
Wasn't it something like, I'm not going to date anyone who can't beat this game or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah. And I beat it several times over. I loved it. I found like boundary breaks for it. It was fun. And then just to prove my love to him, I beat Strider on Genesis.
Love it.
Yeah. Better relationships through video games.
All right. This is going to be interesting because this is the first year where we're going to have zero overlap on any of our lists because my number one is not from your list and it's not from your list. It's different. I thought you would pick this, Dark Soccer. I'm kind of surprised.
Honk.
But that's no, it's actually not. It's not Honk. I'll talk about Honk. I finally played that game in this last week too. I'll talk about that later. My number one pick is a game that I don't think everybody would put as their number one pick, especially if you read a lot of social media, because some people really weren't fans of this game. But I think they're hating on it for the wrong reasons. And if you actually sit down and you play this game and you see some of the improvements that they've made with this really long-running franchise, you're going to see that they've really put a full tank of gas into something that was, you know, kind of, for me anyway, running on low fumes with some of the most recent releases. Obviously, I'm talking about Pokemon Sword and Shield, and that is my absolute top game of the year. I think what they've done with the series is amazing. I think the raids have been transformative for how you can get through the game, and it doesn't like feel like grinding so much. And yes, we'll talk about the Pokemon Direct later in the show. And yes, I think it's really exciting news for the series. And I'm just a fan. And the fact that I've probably bought almost every Pokemon generation at least one game at some point, maybe not in like gens 2 and 3, I might skip some of the early gens, but like the fact that I've probably bought a Pokemon game but never been motivated to really play it through to completion, but this time I did, and I did relatively quickly. Not saying like it didn't take me long to beat, but just saying like I sat down and I focused and I was like, I will beat this game because I am having a good time playing it. I think speaks volumes, and I think is why it's my game of the year. And it's I think, going to continue to carry legs long into next year as well. So I'm really excited about that. That is for sure. So ActDeft in chat saying, Rob, I love you. Oh, thank you. Sword and Shield did a lot of things right that the bad gets like really overshadowed. Sword and Shield are so enjoyable. Well, you know what? For all the national Dexers, whatever you want to call it, on Twitter, like, if they can just get past that little bit of salt that they have and actually sit down and spend some time with the game, like actually play it, I think the proof is right there. I think some of the changes they've made go a long way in what they're trying to do.
I'll say this is the first Pokemon game I really enjoyed playing on a console. At the same time, it wasn't enough to make it my number one. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's great. The play is solid. It really has improved. It just isn't compelling enough story-wise to put it over the top for me, because I am about the story.
Yeah, I understand. And like 80% of those things you just said would be me with Bloodstained. Like, I liked it. I don't know if it's my top three, but I liked it. Yeah. So I get it. I get it. So, yeah, and it's not perfect. Like, it does have some technical issues, especially when you're connected online, which have to do with LOL Nintendo Online. But damn it, I think this is the best Pokemon's ever been. And, yeah, in part, I'm putting it number one on my list to kind of make a point that, like, I think a lot of people on social media are getting it very, very wrong. But the good news is it doesn't matter the loud stuff on social media from people who probably haven't bothered to play it, because the game is selling cuckoo bananas very well. So I hope that's the type of thing that the Game Freak team and the folks behind are looking at. And sometimes you just have to kind of just not check your mentions on Twitter. And I think that's probably best for those guys. So anyway, there it is. So our top games of the year, there they are. So what do we have? We had Minecraft Earth, What the Golf, Borderlands 3, right? Then we had Death Stranding.
Resident Evil 2. Bloodstained.
And then...
I think my list has been more conventional.
Yeah.
Which is odd, but whatever.
Final Fantasy 14, Shadowbringers expansion, Sayonara Wild Hearts, and Pokemon Shield, I guess, if you have to pick one. But you know what I mean.
I would like to offer, though, some honorable mentions. I think the Untitled Goose Game was great.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked Patterned on Apple Arcade and Tint. I loved What the Golf. Sayonara Wild Hearts is definitely a fun one for me. I didn't bring up any of the iOS stuff just because I would be here all day naming things on Apple Arcade that I have intensely enjoyed playing. And they released more stuff for Patterns, so that's kind of like my solitaire, I guess, because I love puzzles and I like artwork and I like being able to see how the art fits together. So those are some honorable mentions for me.
Biggest honorable mention for me that wasn't named anywhere else was Zelda Link's Awakening. I thought the the redo
version, it was really good too. I don't know why I didn't think about it.
I know, right? So it was great though. It was a very solid game.
I guess I'd mention, even though I don't really get to play much of it other than see what my children put together, but Mario Maker 2.
And absolutely something that's worthy of the list as well. So especially,
I just don't get to play my Switch anymore, unfortunately. So that's why I don't have any of those games like Zelda, which I do own, but haven't been able to play. And even like, what was it? Breath of the Wild. I bought that this year too. Can't play it, though, because my kids take the thing, and then my wife wants me to watch TV at night, so, you know.
That's okay. You can always get the Switch Pro and then give the old Switch to your kids, even though
because it's all digital. And it tells, like, I don't know how to make accounts work with other Switches.
I love it. All right. Cool. Our top games of the year. There they are. So guess what? Now is the point of – now this is like a new OLR tradition is that we talk about a lot of stuff on this show. In fact, sometimes it's hard to remember the things that we even discuss from week to week here on this very program, let alone the crazy
who
things.
Who are you people again?
What's that?
Who are you people again?
I don't know. I don't know who I am anymore.
How did I get in this house? Oh, my God. Stop kidnapping me.
So what we did starting a couple years ago, we started putting together a time capsule. And, you know, gaming changes a lot in a year. Like, look at this year. We're going to have at least four new consoles coming out in the next year. I'm counting the Atari VCS, which maybe I shouldn't be.
No, you shouldn't.
And also the Intellivision Amiga.
That I can.
But then, of course, the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X. We're going to have a hell – and maybe something from Nintendo, all that. That would still be, that would still be, you know, theorizing at this point. So, you know, not only are we going to have new consoles, but the point is the way things look like in a year, not going to be the way they look like today. And that is, like, always true in gaming. So it's going to be really fun to look back and see what crazy shit did we think. What do we think we're going to find in here? Because I think this is probably loaded with shit that says, like, how did Animal Crossing turn out? Did Jamie quit the show because she's playing Animal Crossing full time? That's it, which the gag is, of course, delayed. But
I can't remember if I did this last year or the year before last, if we did that. But I believe that the year prior stuff is also in there because I had shoved those also in.
Why did we put two years worth of shit?
Because
in
it's
here?
Not going to, nothing changes.
Oh
that's
my
why.
God. All right. Dark Soccer, anything you want to say before I open this and run through it? Because apparently there's a ton of stuff in here. Okay, no. We're going to make a little which is appropriate because it's a Darth Vader cup. I don't
should
know.
Should also put candy in there, too. Be like, ooh, candy.
Is there candy in here?
No, but see. That'd be cool, though, like, because we'll forget it next year and be like, ooh, candy.
First piece of paper says, anticipated games. Number one, Animal Crossing. This is my handwriting. Number two, Metroid Prime 4. That didn't happen either.
Well, you were anticipating it.
I was anticipating it. Number three, Harry Potter Wizards Unite.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, that turned out all right. I mean, it just kind of got lost in the GPS game shuffle, but it was all right. And then number four, Pokemon Gen 8. Hey, I got that one.
Yay.
I got that one. All right. Next up. OLR may earn enough money for bus tickets to PAX. I will say this. Thanks to you guys being very generous with the biddies and the subs and our move to Twitch and all that good stuff. We probably – bus tickets? Yeah, we probably made enough to buy bus tickets to PAX.
we'll come back from PAX, though. But.
Well, when I say we, I'm also counting Bobby Blackwolf and everything else at Vogue. Yeah, I mean, just a big thank you to everybody that does that stuff because it does count. Most of that money has really gone into paying for the cost of running a legitimate business because, believe it or not, that stuff is expensive. And, we have, like, you know, legal things and document filing and all that stuff. But, I mean, the fact is that doesn't come out of our pockets anymore, which is a great feeling because, you know, I was paying for that old radio feed and now we don't have to anymore. So that's really cool. So, anyway, next up. God, I wrote a lot. What the fuck? Chat predictions. Oh,
forgot
we had a whole thing about chat predictions. Oh, y'all ready to turn the tables? Because I see some of your names on this. Okay, here we go. Chat predictions. She-Hulk projected a portable Xbox. But the cloud. So, like, it's easy to say, oh, you got that one wrong, She-Hulk. But maybe I would say only half off.
Yeah, there's xCloud.
Because there's xCloud, and that is going to make Xbox portable. So I'm going to give She-Hulk partial credit. So you get half a Miss Cleo award for that. All right. Act Deft put Pokemon 8th Gen delay. Aw, no cookie for you. It didn't get delayed. Bobby put Microsoft stops Atmos audio. I don't even know if that was a thing that happened. Did they? I don't even know. I know he was having problems with his home theater, and that's probably where this comment came from. But that's what he had said. Sia Tabiri said, new Mario spinoff. I don't think we got one of those either. That didn't happen, really. You'd have to really dig. I don't know. I don't think that happened. VidPower said, established game battle royale spinoff.
Well, they've had several of those. They weren't really spinoffs, but like you could say Forza Horizon,
Forza Horizon has a battle royale mode.
Tetris 99.
Oh, Tetris 99.
That was last year, though.
It wasn't in 2019. That was 2019.
That was 2019.
Was it?
Yeah. It was on the 2019 releases.
So, yeah, actually, I'm gonna give that to VidPower because Tetris having a battle royale spinoff. Ding, 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 in my opinion.
Fallout 76 did it. Call of Duty did it.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody did it.
All right. Pod Culture said Dreamcast Classic. Oh, how I would love for you to be right, but you're wrong.
We just have to wait longer for that.
And Fifth Dream said Final Fantasy VII Remake canceled. Whoops at you. Okay. Nope. All right, moving on. Ooh, this is a big one. Here it is. N64 Classic released holiday 2019.
Nope. That didn't happen.
Let's see. Next one. Detective Pikachu movie didn't suck.
That is true.
That's your handwriting, right?
That is probably my handwriting.
Loki's handwriting. Detective Pikachu didn't suck.
It was great.
It was pretty damn good, actually, as far as video game movies go. And going to get a sequel, and I don't think we hate it. So, cool. All right. My handwriting. Did they finally get online right with Animal Crossing since they plan to charge for it?
Don't know yet.
Ask in 3 months, Rob. All right. So I told you there's going to be nothing but Animal Crossing shit in here. Loki's handwriting. New AR gaming console?
No, you should
have went with Cloud. Would have got that.
But Cloud sucks.
All right. Next up. My handwriting. Next Xbox announced, but no PS5. What was I thinking? Game Pass console to hold us over.
Nah.
Oh, I was thinking there was going to be a console like dedicated to like digital. I think I was thinking something even smaller than that Xbox One X or whatever. What the hell was the one that's digital?
The digital only one.
I was thinking a smaller, more digital. Bare bones version of that. Yeah. Yes, the Xbox sad. Thank you.
Sad.
Where's Darksocker's? Oh, right. As soon as I'm like, where the hell's Darksocker's handwriting? I think this is it. Amazon's new streaming game service will not overcome Steam or the console market. Well,
Amazon has a streaming game service?
That is true. All right, next up. I remember something about that being in the news.
Well, I think that it just hasn't happened yet.
It's replace it with Stadia, and it's still true. This is my handwriting. Tiger Claw, you guys are going to scream. You ready? Tiger Claw, listen up. The Sonic movie was a bad idea, right?
Yes.
As it turns out.
But
yes.
It's not as bad of an idea as, well, so far we're not quite sure yet how bad it
this
will be.
This is why we do the time capsule. That was fucking great. All right. what really comes of that remains to be seen because I think we knew the release date was going to be this year.
It was supposed to be
this year.
Yeah.
But now it's in 2020. So that's really funny. All right. Moving on. I don't know who wrote this. I think this is Dark Soccer's handwriting for safest prediction ever. Still no Half-Life 3.
Well, sort of.
Well,
there's a new Half-Life game.
You thought it would be an easy prediction. Turns out it's a little complicated. Loki's handwriting. EA will close BioWare after Anthem underperforms due to EA shittiness, i.e. loot boxes. I would say you're like 3/4 right. There's just one component of this prediction missing. So
it should be in the capsule for next year.
We're going to put this back in the yes. There's things I'm going to put
we'll
back.
Just keep, like,
we need a pile of things to put back in the capsule. Still no Half-Life 3. Where was the one about Animal Crossing? Because the one about Animal Crossing needs to go back in as well. Where is it?
Online with Animal Crossing? Though,
yeah, something about online with Animal Crossing. Now I can't find it. Gosh darn it.
Eh, who cares?
Right, wait. No. All right. Never mind. I'll worry about it later. Maybe it fell on the floor when I got up earlier. Okay. Next up. I don't think the year before we're in here because we're almost out.
Maybe that was the year before last.
Loki wrote anticipated games. Crackdown 3.
Ooh. Yeah, I anticipated it, then I played it, and then it
was good. That was too bad. Animal Crossing Switch.
I told you that's
going to be everywhere. Borderlands 3.
Yeah, that was good.
It's like everybody's like last thing they wrote down was the accurate one. So, all right. Let's see. I think this is Jamie's writing. Nintendo freaks out and goes back to friend codes for all the things. I don't think they did. I'm trying to think if something's close. I don't know. I don't think so, because they've actually kind of integrated Facebook and Twitter if you pay for the online thing. So don't think that one panned out. There's only one more in here.
It must have been last year that I did that.
All right, here it is. The last one. Ooh, did Sony do a PlayStation event in the fall because of no E3?
No, they did not.
No, they didn't. But that actually, let's take that and lead this into a side topic, because I don't think it comes up in our news anywhere else. But there's – it's probably because it's the giant rumor category. But this is one of those rumors that Michael Patcher has chimed in on. Mm. And the rumor is that Sony plans to skip this year's E3 as well. Meaning that they would not be showing PlayStation 5 at E3 this year. How do you guys feel about that if Sony were to skip E3 this year as well?
Yeah, they'll do their own event. I mean, that sucks for E3, but, you know, they would do their own event. And I don't know if that's a good – you know, as much as, like, they may not have stuff to – I would hope that they'd have something to show, because it's just going to be the Microsoft show then if, you know, they decide that they're not going to go to E3. It'll just be like,
well,
hey,
Nintendo could.
Well, right. But things. Like, I mean, that's, I don't know. I don't know what benefit they would have for skipping unless they really don't have stuff to show, which is not good, I guess, especially considering that we're going to be, you know, expecting a new console at the end of this year, unless that's going to get delayed. Who knows?
Boy, that's a real kick in the pants to E3 and the ESA, though. But, you know, throughout the discussion on Twitter about the topic, one thing that somebody I follow said that I remembered, oh, this is very true. Do you guys remember that the ESA had all those leaks of people's personal information when it came to the media?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember that? What did the ESA say they were going to do about that?
I don't remember them saying anything.
That would be correct. So there's still that whole thing, is that this is still an issue that's gone unaddressed, and that's not good. And maybe this is going to sound really harsh, and I don't mean to sound like one of those like shitlords on Twitter, but maybe the ESA deserves to fail. I put it out there. Can't take it back. Like, maybe that's...
They're just a lobbying group. What are they really doing? Aside from... They're looking out for the publishers, like the big AAA publishers. They're not looking out for the consumers at all. They're just, like, protecting the people that are paying... They're keeping them afloat, is the publishers. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, in the past, you know, we may have seen them as, like, oh, hey, you know, they're going against, you know, the laws that you're, you know, trying to... ban violent video games and stuff like that, so that's kind of good. But at the same time, they were still just protecting the publishers. You know, we need kind of a consumer advocate group that's kind of in the gaming space, I think, and I don't think that's the ESA.
One of the other rumors out there is that they're trying to bring in Jeff Keighley to basically save E3, but I mean, he's already kind of involved, so that isn't necessarily like...
How's he going to save E3?
That they are looking to him to basically design a show kind of like he does his award show, basically. Not saying that E3 is going to suddenly become an award show, but basically give him a lot more creative control. Him and his team, I guess, because, you know, only one man can only do so much. But, you know, put more creative input from him, basically.
I don't know.
I'm just not sure. I mean, hey.
That's not the show that – I mean, that's not what that show is supposed to be about.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know. But my, how times have changed. But, you know, the fact that the issues from last year still are going unaddressed and so forth, I think E3, if it does come out that Sony's not going to bother to go to the show and they're doing their own thing, I mean, sure, Microsoft, there still will be an E3 2020, and Microsoft, it's going to be free, well, it's not really going to be free, but it's going to be, you know, Microsoft's, you know, free realm to do things. But if Sony does their own show, if they do a PlayStation event, they're going to get tons of media coverage. They can invite all the people they need to invite to their own show. I don't know. It's going to be some colossal ego energy in a way, but I kind of think it would pay off for them. So we'll see. I don't know.
That's what a lot of companies do in the tech space nowadays anyway. So I wouldn't be surprised if all of this E3 stuff goes away at some point.
Bobby Blackwolf does want to point out kind of like a little difference here, Loki, and what you were saying a minute ago, is that the ESA, they're a lobbying group for the AAA publishers and put on a trade show. That's all they do. We have the ECA, Entertainment Consumer Association, which is the lobbying group for our behalf. They owned GamePolitics.com. So a little difference between the two side of things. Yeah. So
Game Politics, didn't that go away?
No.
He says owned in past tense. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
I missed that site.
Mm-hmm.
I freaking loved Game Politics. We need something like that back.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's move on. So that was a little trip down memory lane in our time capsule. Let's talk a little bit about our gaming week. Now, I'm throwing the rest of these in the trash.
Are we
going to do a new one of these?
Yes,
maybe
we will
when
do
we
a new
back.
One of these. We're running a little long tonight, and I already kind of warned everybody before the show, so we'll probably fill this up. So what we'll do, we're going to just come to the show next week with things already written
out.
Week
after next?
Or, yes. Oh, yeah. So housekeeping note. Hello. There is no show next week. No live show. Well, there's not going to be any show, actually. It's not going to tape anything either.
You will be out.
I will be out. You will be out. He will be out. Literally nobody will be here in Sacramento. Well, I'll be in Sacramento, but nowhere near the studio.
Well, and I will be at the Women's March in San Francisco. So I will be in face.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to look for Sister Chava, which is me, I will be out there with the San Francisco sisters. Come say hi and march with us.
I'll be driving to Disneyland.
Broccoli Farm.
I wanted to make those t-shirts
and,
someday.
Next Sunday is Alan and I's third wedding anniversary on the 19th, but we're actually also celebrating 10 years together. So we just passed 10 years as boyfriends or whatever you want to call it was January 4th.
Dan and I do that. Do you know that mine and Dan's 21st?
Wow.
Will be, is it 21st or 22nd? I really can't brain,
mm-hmm.
but it will be the 23rd of this month.
Yeah.
And which means roughly half of my life has been lived in California.
Well, we're very lucky to have you. So, Alan and I are going to see a play. So we're going to go, or a musical. We're going to go see Dear Evan Hansen because it's touring. It's going to be here. So we're doing that night, maybe a nice dinner or something. So yeah, just everybody's going to be gone. Bobby Blackwolf will be holding down the fort here at Twitch. So for those of you, I mean, you guys can still tune in. Bobby will probably maybe run a little longer than usual. Maybe that'll be the week you can finally get Tommy on his show. And can run really long. We'll see. But Vog will still be on next week, just we will not be here next week. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. And at that time, we will fill the time capsule with new predictions. And we can have it all written out already, so we're not spending time writing and all that stuff, because that took forever the last time we did this. I remember that. So, all right. So there you go. There's the time capsule. Now it's time to throw these in the garbage. All right. Let's move on to our gaming weeks and talk about the types of games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
Well, minimal given everything else we've been going through. But Dan and I did watch as much of AGDQ as we could. I was a little sad they didn't make Pi Million, which was the last goal. But still, it was great seeing everything that all of those amazing runners did. I loved the Impossible Super Metroid run. That was amazing.
What's the Impossible Super Metroid run?
It's a mod of Super Metroid that's even harder with some of the things moved around. Like, you don't get the Varia suit until after you beat Ridley, for example. Mother Brain, in each aspect of each of the different segments, takes anywhere between 100 to 150 shots. So it's pretty crazy. It was a really difficult run to watch, but really amazing at how tight this guy was in playing. It was Oats and Goats was the runner.
Oh.
Really amazing.
Do they have a Kaizo Super Metroid? Because that'd be hilarious.
This is kind of, I think, Kaizo Super Metroid. It's really freaking hard.
As far as what I played, I did a little bit more of What the Golf. I freaking love it on iOS. It's so easy to play. I mean, and frustrating because the cars piss me off so much.
Yeah.
And I have been playing Pokemon Go. I've been playing Harry Potter. I've also started playing the Ryakuma farming game thanks to my friend Mari. It's basically just one of those stupid little farm sim games, but with Ryakuma instead. What else was I playing? I'm also still playing Patterned. It's just so relaxing to me. It's one of the games that I'll have the music on when I'm playing it at home. And I've got the Mac version and iOS version because I'm doing it through Apple Arcade. But thankfully, my levels don't cross over for that game. So I can keep doing. And the levels play a little bit differently on a computer versus how they play on an iPhone. I've been vastly enjoying Patterned. It's just, it's been my little moment of zen while I've been so overwhelmed with all the crazitude in the house. I've also been playing a lot of Animal Crossing Pocket Camp just because, oh my God, I want my Animal Crossing. Dan and I talked about getting a Switch Lite for me so we don't have to take my Switch out of the house so I can play. And he's like, well, I'm sure there's going to be an Animal Crossing edition of the Switch Lite and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you realize that this is the month, it's had me out the month before my birthday. And this is going to probably be my birthday present. So, yes, all the things, yes. Other than that, though, I mean, it's just really my usual. I haven't had a thought to play anything else because instead of playing our systems at home, we were watching AGDQ. So, the Super Metroid run was freaking amazing, though.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that. Just a little bit, though.
By the way, honk.
All right, Loki, how was your gaming week?
It was all Orna. That's basically it. I played Orna.
What level are you now?
I'm 100.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah, so 2 weeks took to get there. And now I have to figure out what specialization I'm going to pick now because I have that option. But it costs too much. Now I assume that it's going to be much slower because now they've unlocked the whole new set of enemies I have to fight that are way more powerful than I am now. Whereas everything, I was just trashing everything in my path up until 100. And,
you have to really walk to find stuff too. Like that's what happens as you kill things, then like they respawn with other mobs. They're usually like more powerful than you. And so you really have to, like, walk to get new stuff to spawn.
Right, and that's what I've been kind of doing that stuff as well. I've been trying to do the daily quest things that they have. But it can be hard sometimes, especially, like, when you're... It seems like the mobs that they want you to kill don't spawn as often on those days. So I've been trying to do that. And, like, even just, like, the basic stuff, like the main storyline quests that they have you do, like... Because it's like, okay, you need to kill these... You know, you need to kill hobgoblins, okay... Well, cool. I've killed millions of hobgoblins, except they're hobgoblin mages, hobgoblin, knights, hobgoblin, this. And it's like, it's not just plain old hobgoblins. You have to specifically kill that. And so, like, I'm level 100. I'm still not even done with, like, these tutorial missions or whatever. I don't know. I've been doing a lot of the arena stuff because arenas, you get, like, about 45,000 experience each thing you fight, and they're pretty easy, so I've been just doing those and burning through those as quickly as I can. So that's been my week, basically.
I get murdered in those. My gear's not good enough or something, and I've been trying to use... That's why I finally built a blacksmith here, so I can just, deposit. In fact, I put stuff in before the show started tonight that'll be done by the time the show's over.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I do that each night when I go to bed and drop stuff off and then pick up my dry cleaning in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Lots of Orna. Let's see. My gaming week. Been playing a little bit of Pokemon Sword and Shield because of some of the news that came out this week. For the first time, I finally got around to playing Untitled Goose Game. I'm going to admit, I didn't get into it as much as the rest of you have. And sorry if I come off like sounding like a hater, but I don't know. Well, I want to put something into context, too, because this is very important. It would help you understand maybe why I'm just like, I was very like kind of, I don't get it as much as like everybody else. Alan and I... After the show last week, we ate something that gave us the most horrific food poisoning I have ever had in my entire life in the middle of the day on Monday. So we were sick Monday night, Tuesday. Like, it was so bad. I actually called my health provider to be like, do I need to come to the hospital? Because, or actually, Alan had to call them because I couldn't form coherent sentences. It was that bad. And he's sick. So it's it was bad. I'm fine now. Obviously, I'm sitting here doing the show and snacking away on pretzels here. So everything's fine. But that was the worst I have ever had it. That was so, so horrible. So I think I finally played Untitled Goose Game about Wednesday when my body is finally like starting to like stop being horrific and start to get some sense of normalcy again. But I just feel so like exhausted. But I was so bored. I was like, I need something to do. That is the context in which I finally got around to playing Untitled Goose Game. So to be fair, I wasn't in the best of moods. So this is probably why the game didn't land super well with me, but I was just kind of like annoyed. I was having such a hard time figuring out how to solve some of the very first puzzles, which I would assume are supposed to be some of the easiest stuff. So I was just, you know, getting annoyed with it really easy. So that was it. I mean, I get why though. It's a very different type of game. You know, you don't see that type of thing a lot.
And honk.
Yeah, exactly. The goose does make a really funny
mascot. I just
like
playing an asshole.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. So
there's a good boundary break on that one, by the way.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Just showing that, like, some of the scenes where you don't see the goose, mm-hmm. It's still doing stuff. There's actually things going on in the houses and everything that, you know, it's not just effect happening. It's legit going on in the game.
I tried to. So when I was trying to figure out, like, where is this particular item that I need? I found a river and I swam all the way down the river and I could see all these different areas that must be like coming up in the future. And finally it ended and I was able to go up onto something and that was like it. Like it, but it was weird that I could even get that far down the river. It was so strange. So, but yeah, that was what it was. As far as like, oh, so the chat is wondering, Swang Tong wants to know, what did I eat? Here's the weird thing.
Food.
We still kind of can't put together because Alan made spaghetti and meatballs here at home, which so obviously you blame the meatballs, right? But they were those type of like prepackaged frozen ones that are pre-cooked and then he cooked them again. So I know it doesn't make a lot of sense. And the doctor, so I finally did talk to a doctor in urgent care. Because the way you and I have the same healthcare provider, so the way they work, because I was like, can I come into urgent care? Can I come into urgent care? And like, we need somebody to call you.
I just usually go to urgent care.
They do not advertise very well where the urgent care is.
I know right where mine is, though.
Okay, I'm going to get the details if that, heaven forbid, that ever happens to me again.
Well, just FYI, South Sac Urgent Care opens at 3 o'clock.
That's good to know.
And it's open every day.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. But anyway, where was I? Oh, I talked to the doctor, and the doctor was like, you know, it sounds like it might actually be viral because I don't think what you guys ate sounds like it's something that could have been capable of giving you such, you know, horrible food poisoning. So it's kind of a mystery in some ways. Now, we had gone to a nice brunch at a nice country club place earlier in the day with some mutual friends. And so we were kind of quick to think, oh, those types of things, buffets are usually like prime. That's where it came from. But this was a really nice place and not the type of thing that's going to have code violations. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, but none of our friends got sick.
Your reaction, though, and I was thinking this earlier, just, you know, I was too kind of in stuff, is definitely, though, makes me think more of gastroenteritis than food poisoning because of how dehydrated you got.
Oh, my gosh. I got so dehydrated. That's why my fever was so high. So
when I had it really bad, and this was when I was a kid, but I had it for about 2 weeks. I lost 20 pounds as a teenager, which is a lot when you're a teenager, and was roughly in the same state that you described yourself. So I'm glad you're over it by now, but it does sound like you had maybe a 48-hour bug.
Yeah, so weird, so weird. But anyway, one thing I will say, I'm going to say this, and I know this isn't directly about games, but this is just a good life tip because this is something I learned throughout the whole ordeal because the problem was Alan and I were sick at the same time, so we couldn't really like help each other out a lot. Now, he didn't get it as bad as I did. I also ate seconds on Sunday, so I kind of blame that on everything. But anyway, my point is, you know, when you're super dehydrated, the best thing to do is to drink something like Gatorade, something with electrolytes, right? Something to kind of get all that back in your system. Well, we don't just keep Gatorade around the house. So I would really advise people to do one of two things. have Gatorade available. Put it in your pantry. Like, just have it in a place. That shit never goes bad.
Mio. Keep the squirty stuff.
Or that, or this is what I was going to say, because this really did the trick. They sell a, you know how like, not Crystal Light, but Crystal Light comes in those powder things. They sell Propel in little powdered packets.
Pedialyte also.
Oh, does Pedialyte come in
they
packets?
They have Pedialyte, not the powder one. It's kind of a gross like liquid thing.
Oh.
But it does, it's a great rehydrator.
Trust me.
Pedialyte is the bomb when
you're sick. It can't be as gross as being sick. So my advice to everybody, have an emergency supply of something. Pick the brand of your choice with their electrolytes. Have an emergency supply of it on hand just in case. That's especially if you live alone, especially, you know, even if you do live with a partner or something, there's no telling if both of you are going to get sick at the same time. So anyway, I totally got on a tangent with that. Oh, DJ Rama S in chat says Pedialyte, a must have when you're out con drinking. I'm pretty sure Dragon Con, most people I've seen have a stock of it on hand as well. So it's smart to have. But I think even the powdered stuff, because that's so much, you know, water's heavy. You can't always carry that around. But like, I'm going to do that now. When I go to Dragon Con, I'm going to take that tiny little box of powder Propel and just keep it with me. Like how it's super easy and convenient. So anyway,
I'd keep a little bottle of Mio when I travel.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even think of Mio, but I guess that would work too for sure. So yeah. Perfect. Anyway, so where were we? Yes.
And not just because I need a sassy gay friend.
Gaming Weeks. Hello. So don't play a fun game like Untitled Goose Game when you don't feel fun, because it'll affect your opinions on it. But otherwise, I played way too much Final Fantasy XIV. What else is new? So let's move on. Let's get into some gaming news finally. Let's talk about what's been going on in the headlines. And yeah, it's nice to be back to normal.
Yes.
In the news cycle, because the past couple weeks have been all holidays. But here we are, 2020. Here we go. Looking at the new consoles and what they're going to bring and all that good stuff. Right, Loki?
2020 partying like it's 2006, though, with Microsoft, rumor at least, about Microsoft's new console, the Xbox Series X, stating that there may be a Windows mode in the console where you can actually run it like a PC, which will allow you to access the Steam and Epic Game Store platforms. So you could essentially use it as like a PC, in the sense that you could use the PlayStation 3 as a Linux machine for a brief moment in time, until they decided that was an avenue for people to hack the system, and then, you know, we know how that went. Interesting to see if this ends up being a thing, but who knows? I mean, it sounds plausible, I guess. I would be surprised, though, like, if that is actually a thing, because I think that one of the things they were trying to do with, like, especially the Windows Store, is have a lot of these universal apps, so you'd be able to do some productivity stuff on there. And I would be willing to bet that, like, if it's a Windows mode, I don't know. I just can't imagine
Microsoft Outlook on my Xbox Series X.
I just can't imagine like someone buying an Xbox Series X to do like Excel on. That this just,
who would have thought the military would have bought PlayStation 3s to do some of their most intentional
stuff?
Well,
right, but that's because of the processor that's inside of it. I mean,
true.
It's like, God, I need a strong processor for that Excel spreadsheet, you know. I mean, I guess I could see something like that. Maybe they could do that. I just don't know. I'd be a little skeptical to see if it can run the Epic Game Store and that kind of stuff, but who knows? Maybe someone will hack it to do that, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
It would be very perceptive of Phil Spencer and the rest of the Xbox team if they've kind of noticed that, you know, when PlayStation 3 got rid of the other OS thing, it was not super well received by a lot of people. And, you know, maybe when you hear that, oh, the military was buying these machines to use and so forth for their, you know, specific needs, it would be very interesting if they've put a Windows mode into this. I mean, obviously I don't see them doing any OS like Unix or whatever. I mean, I guess anything's possible, but I just don't see it. But it'd be very interesting if there is a Windows boot mode for these things that you could run, you know, whether it's limited to universal Windows apps or things like that. It would be very interesting if that was something that these boxes offered. But I could see that be a more interesting prospect for things you can do with your Xbox other than the Xbox One's message of TV, sports.
Or like, to the sense that this Windows mode in there, like, I know that, you know, the Xbox is now looking at this whole Xbox Cloud platform and streaming I know with the Xbox One X, I think a lot of that streaming, you're actually streaming games from your console to your phone. So what if they see that as, hey, you know what, productivity-wise, we could have you stream your console to your phone, but instead of playing games on there, you could be answering emails, you could be putting together a spreadsheet, typing up a Word document, or something like that. So you could do some of that as well, and then go to gaming. Maybe that's something that they're thinking about doing to kind of help boost that platform, because I think maybe making some money from these live, the Office 365 subscriptions or something like that might be something that they're interested in as well. I don't know. We'll see.
In chat, Bobby Blackwolf says, to be fair, the Xbox One can use just about any UWP app, which I think is Universal Windows Platform, right?
Yeah.
App. There are Reddit apps on the Xbox One. I didn't even think of that. Technically, you can run Microsoft Edge on your Xbox One. I don't know why you would, because none of the websites look good.
I don't
good,
see why anyone would use Edge for any reason.
But it's there. Bobby also points out, I could release a VOG app for Xbox One if I really wanted to. Well, I mean,
now you've nominated yourself. So I mean,
but you have to. This stream runs through Twitch. I mean, it would have been different if this was still a Shoutcast thing, and Shoutcast being a more open platform. You know, it would have been a lot different. Basically, he would be writing a very specific version of TuneIn, right? But now that we're not there, we're on Twitch, I don't really know if that same logic would apply. It's just kind of like we just tell people, well, just make sure you follow us and use the Twitch app, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's that. But interesting. But, you know, to be fair, a dedicated app could still be used for podcasts, catching up on back episodes and things like that. We could feed it exclusive content. I don't know what the fuck we'd put on it that we're not doing already on these shows, but you know, I guess we could do what all the other podcasters do and do special mini episodes that are just da-da-da. But I'm like, dudes, we do a three, and I use that as a universal term, dudes, we do a 3-hour podcast every week. Like, all the random shit we would do in a sideshow is already in this show. This show is bloated as fuck. What else do you want?
We can't do more random stuff.
This show is already random.
The special show.
Oh my God, that's going to be my new line.
We're like the Keith Richards of topics.
Next time,
he's done all the drugs, we've done all the topics.
Next time I'm on a fucking podcast panel and they're like, or they say, like, your show should be an hour, your show should be an hour and 20 minutes. And they're like, why is your show 3 hours long? I'm going to be like, because all that shit y'all put on Patreon and charge people for, we just put it on our main show. Now what? And then I'll get escorted off the stage. But I'll have made my point.
Hey, we've done 3-hour shows for ages. And guess what? Bitches, we're still here.
That's true. We are still
Who's
here.
Got the longevity? That it would be us.
Out. Yeah. The thing is, the rest of you care about ratings. Like, we were doing this show and no one was listening, and we're still doing this show and no one's listening.
We have a few people.
We sure do. All right. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I will give you a standing ovation. Thank you, Bobby. This is why
someone legit gave me a dollar.
This is why we worked together so well. I do remember someone gave you a dollar.
I know who it is, too.
All right. Anyway. Where were we? Oh, yes, the Xbox Series X.
Yes.
How about – okay, so we actually – funny enough, we tangented into other OS and all this stuff. But let's go back to the point of the Steam store and the Epic store. Now, see, I could also see that this is Microsoft trying to play off any concerns of a monopoly. Because there might be like concerns of anti-competitiveness. So if there was a way that you could access these stores.
But I wouldn't see that this would be a problem, though. Because, I mean, we exist in a world that, you know, Apple has one platform for selling products within their device. Their devices that they have. So, like, I don't know. I don't think that would be necessarily a problem on a console. It's not like a PC where, like, well, we're locking you down. You can only buy stuff from this, you know.
Well, what's interesting, Apple's kind of been called out on that in the past, and I have a feeling, I don't know any of this, but I have a feeling this could be why they went back and they split up iTunes the way they did. Now they have the music app and the podcast app, because technically, yes, you can use Apple Podcast app to listen to this, but you can use Spotify, you can use iHeartRadio, you can use other podcast apps. Yes, you can use the music app to pay for and get music, but you can use Pandora. I have a feeling exactly what you're talking about right there might be why Apple had split some of that up previously, so that that chatter would hopefully dissipate a little bit, because they can say there is competition in these other places. We do have other places you can buy TV shows like Amazon and stuff on our platform in addition to our own.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with it, if it even exists. I'm not knocking any more functionality for a device, so why not?
Fair enough. All right, well, let's move on and talk about the Consumer Electronics Show, which happened this past weekend. Not usually a gigantic gaming event. We got little bits of gaming.
Well, there's still exciting stuff.
Yeah, there is, and especially if you're a collector. I think all the big news that I saw was really about – we have some other little headlines later, but I think a lot of the big headlines I saw was about collectibles. So including one of the biggest collectible makers right now is Arcade 1-Up, who makes those
little
cabinets.
On a roll, man.
They are on a roll. They are, yeah, they are Ashley O on a roll, that's for sure. Arcade 1-Up is doing an online-enabled NBA Jam cabinet. So this is going to be their first one that actually you can play against your friend's NBA Jam cabinet in another state thanks to the magical Wi-Fi. That's pretty cool. Even when you think, like, this is, like, really basic, like, low-level Xbox Live type of implementation, but it's still kind of neat to see that in an authentic cabinet, an authentic collector thing. I think that's a really exciting type of thing, actually, so that's cool. There's also, and yes, I am well aware, and this is near and dear to my heart, and you can actually see this is it's probably hard to make out on the Twitch feed for those that are watching the video, but I actually have my little – this is a Burger Time arcade machine. This is in the My Arcade series, which we'll talk about them as well because they have news as well coming out. But there's that little machine. Let me see if I can actually kind of hit the start so I can actually run through the game, although that is not going to come through. You can hear it, though, a little bit. But, yeah, so it actually you can play that game. So they're actually putting out a full-size Burger Time cabinet, Arcade 1-Up is. So I think that's kind of cool for sure.
Can you imagine, like, telling someone in the 80s, hey, yeah, you know what? Remember how they had those Coleco arcade little things that you could buy that were kind of, like, cheap? I mean, at the time, it was the best they could do, but it was, like, cheap, like,
the LED burners.
Yeah, it's cheap interpretations of the games. Like, no, you're actually going to get the full arcade hardware running on one of these. I mean, someone just blow their goddamn minds.
Yeah.
I think it's fun that people have emulated those now.
I really want the Burger Time cab, but I just the cost is a little bit up there, and I can't justify the cost right now.
What are they charging for it? $399.
It's $399, but then you have to consider there's tax, and you have to consider their shipping. Which
are they going to bring it to stores?
No, it's limited edition. They're only doing 3,000 prints, and it's only through their stores. You can't even do it through Amazon to get like Prime shipping or something. Yeah, I know it stinks. So it's really more like $500 if you want to buy this cabinet. So I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence, but I'm worried it'll be sold out by the time I'm finally ready to commit. So we'll see. I'll probably decide in the next few days. Of course, all this news came out again while I was keeled over in pain. Other things that Arcade 1-Up announced, a pinball partnership with Zen Studios to include titles from Bally Williams and other big, big names in the pinball space. That's pretty exciting. So now we're going to have Arcade 1-Up pinball tables. So I'm assuming those will be kind of miniature sized as well.
And so 3/4 scale?
Yeah, and I imagine it's going to use – it'd probably just be the screen tilted a little bit. So it'll probably be kind of like the cabinets are today, but with the screen tilted. That's my guess. I don't know. I haven't seen these machines myself yet, so it'll be interesting. They're also talking about a sit-down style Star Wars cabinet. So that's kind of cool, except I'm hearing Bobby talked about this a little bit on his show. I guess he saw some videos and stuff. It's kind of like – it's like a bench with the screen there. It's not like the full enclosed casing.
Oh, man.
You can build that yourself if you really want, but
– You know what I want? Since we're talking about, like, you know, dream stuff.
Sure.
I want Arcade 1-Up to start doing, like, the racing games, like Rush, like California Speed.
Anything's possible.
Like, I want a driving cabinet. Can I get an Arcade 1-Up driving cabinet, please?
They're on
like
a
sit-down driving cabinet. Not necessarily full size. I'll take a 3/4 scale or whatever.
They're also doing a new Frogger cabinet, which will have Time Pilot.
No one wants that! Konami.
I love Time Pilot, though.
I would only want Frogger if I can play it on roller skates.
Stop trying to make Frogger happen, Konami.
And then there's going to be a Sega Golden Axe cabinet with Golden Axe, Shinobi, Altered Beast, Wrestle Wars, But for the first time, Golden Axe, The Revenge of Death Adder. I guess cool. It's not been released like this before, so that's pretty darn cool. They unveiled all sorts of stuff. So that's all from Arcade 1UP. Now, there's other companies getting in this business, too. There's one called II Arcade, with two small eyes and arcade. This is a cabinet that you can put in, the little reduced size, like the Arcade 1UPs a little bit. And apparently what this is that you hook this up and then you download whatever games you want legally. So this is basically trying to bring a purchase model.
It's smart.
Into a yeah, it is a little
because
smarter.
It's like, do I really want to pay $150? I mean, if you want to have like that collection, like an arcade collection, I get it.
Yeah,
I have the room and the money, sure, why not? I'll fill my house with that stuff. But like, if you don't have the room or the money, this I think is a pretty decent option.
Yeah, so it's going to run on a special Arcade OS, a customized operating system, and you'll be able to basically buy games that they are working with to be able to install on this as well. And I think they're talking about making different types, different shapes, so maybe like a cocktail cabinet and stuff like that in the future. Who knows? I think that'd be very cool. I had one more bit about these actual little My Arcade cabinets, the small ones that I've got here. They are going to be doing a Street Fighter II Championship Edition player as well. I think that's pretty cool.
That's going to be hard to play.
Well, apparently it's something that is actually going to be multiplayer as well. I thought I heard that was a thing, so that you could actually you can connect it. So these things actually have little hookups in the back. And you can connect two machines together and play against each other.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty cool, huh? So, that's one thing that will be available. And then there is a Super Retro Champ console, which is,
I saw that. So that's kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
So that's basically, it's this new, like, portable retro system that can use either SNES or Genesis cartridges or Mega Drive cartridges. So they have like a cartridge slot in the top and a cartridge slot in the bottom, and then there's a screen and it kind of has your usual like four button setup or whatever. That looked pretty cool.
And I guess other things they had recently announced, I didn't even know were out there. There's a Space Invaders player. There's a Contra player as well. I didn't even know there was a Contra.
Ooh, Contra.
One. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'd be down for Contra.
And I believe this is the company that has the Bubble Bobble ones right now too. I'm trying to actually look at their catalog to see what they have.
Is Contra out? Because I need to get the Contra cabinet.
I'm looking on their website right now, so you can actually look at myarcadegaming.com. Yeah, there's Bubble Bobble, and there's Rolling Thunder, too, which I thought was pretty cool, and Elevator Actions. There's, like, all these games. They have a Mappy one? When did that come? Oh, wait, no. Hello, I have the Mappy one, actually. Shows you how much my brain works. Wait a minute. I think I have that one.
I was going to say,
there's Heavy Barrel, Caveman Ninja, Bad Dudes. Yeah, so there's so many of them.
The
so.
Other set that's out, apparently there's a Spy Hunter that Dan wants me to go hunting down.
Jeez. So these things are just blowing up, these little mini retro, you know, whether it be teeny tiny $30, $40 ones or these, you know, larger $400 ones. Like, you know, collecting these is really big right now. And this trend is going to be continuing if this year's CES is any indication. So stay tuned. All right. Meanwhile, moving on to another story. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm sorry. I was actually looking up the game now.
I don't
So Microsoft has implemented something called Project Artemis. What it is, it's a tool for their chat that scans all of the text conversations and rates them on the probability that a user might be trying to sexually exploit children. It is also then reviewed by human moderators to review the flagged conversations and see if they are something that needs to be reported to law enforcement. So they are apparently to be implementing this on Xbox, and it looks like they're also going to be offering it up to nonprofits and other gaming and messaging service developers to help prevent the exploitation of children. And this is, of course, coming right on the heels of COPPA, which that in itself is problematic. But we'll see what becomes of it. If only they had something so good for people who harass women on the internet, wickedly glaring at every video game chat that exists in the universe, you know, or all these little toxic small penis males out there.
who want women to not have a voice.
So do you think we're going to maybe in 2020 see our first arrest from use of this technology?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see all these predators.
Well, I don't I wouldn't love to see this action ever happen, but I understand it's out there. I understand.
You know what I mean? I'd like to see the predators caught and dealt with. I would love to see the predators caught and dealt with.
Could this technology capture swatters? I guess maybe not. Maybe, but it's maybe something police can install or something. I don't know.
It'd be nice, though, if they could do that, too.
Yeah.
You know, just like even if people joke about it, they need to be flagged because it's not funny. It's not funny at all.
Do you think people are going to have a problem, though? I mean, as more and more we start to get more and more aware of like all these devices that listen in on us, right? Like there's all this talk.
Privacy
about
isn't a thing anymore.
There's no privacy?
No, there's really no privacy anymore. Mm-hmm. Not if you don't want something of yours that has been in or on the internet to be public, you do not put it on the internet at all. You write it down. That's why I keep a journal, a physical written damn journal now, so that I don't have to worry about my dirty laundry being aired. You know, I don't put anything.
Unless I break into your home and steal your journal.
Bitch, who says that's at my house?
Oh, fair enough.
I keep that thing with me. So, but at any rate, and you know, I'm just being teasing anyway.
That's fine.
But at any rate, you know, I think if this is a suitable reaction to a problem that's happening. It was predictable that something like this would happen. And so, again, I think that if you're that kind of filthy creature that wants to prey on children for whatever pleasure you want to get from exploited children, then you best be considering, number one, your life choices, number two, getting psychological help, and number three, keeping that garbage off of the internet. You know, it's... Dan and I were just talking about this the other day, too. We were talking about the subway guy and how garbage he was. And just talking about how all these people, and we're learning about them now because nothing is private on the internet.
But when you go to play a game on Xbox Live, essentially you're saying you're going on the internet. And the things that you're saying, the things that you're doing,
they're public record.
Yeah, you're doing them on the internet and you're doing them online.
By participating in this chat, you have consented to be scrutinized. End of story.
Yeah.
And honestly, I want these predators to be, they're out there. We know they are. I want them caught and removed. I want these people who are out there harassing other people to be caught and removed. I want them to see that their behavior is unacceptable. And yes, you will be held accountable for it. End of story. So
interesting that technology is taking us steps closer to that. So
I'm glad for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing is private anymore. Just remember, everybody, nothing is private. If you don't want some, if you are going to put something out there that you feel might remotely be regrettable, don't fucking do it. End of story.
Better delete my Twitter account. All right. Moving on. Loki, what do we have next?
So more updates to Pokemon Go. So Gen 5, they're going to be having some more Pokemon added to the roster for Pokemon Go. And what's going to be a little bit unique about this is that some of these you'll be able to get by evolving. Well, your Pokemon will evolve when you do trades, because I think they're trying to really get people to use the trade function on there. So right now they have certain Pokemon like Kadabra, Machoke, Graveler, and Haunter that you need to... they're going to have no candy evolutions. I guess that will be something that's going to be available now. Along with that, they're going to be adding some more Pokemon. So Boldore, Girdur, Garblast, and Shelmet are going to be added as well to this trade evolution. Then they're going to be adding some more Pokemon that are going to be from the fifth generation that you'll be able to hatch from eggs. So that includes Roggenrola, Timpole, Dwebbler, Trubbish, Carablast, Joltik, Shelmet, and then some additional ones. And then they talk about some of the more region-exclusive stuff as well. So North America, South America, and Africa are going to be getting Throw. and those are going to be from 10 kilometer eggs.
I'm so bored of regional exclusives, though. It sucks so much for people that aren't able to, like, just easily travel and all that. You know, it's just, I don't know. I wish there was, I mean, I guess alternative ways come out eventually to get these regionals.
And
but
some of these regions don't make any sense either. So, like, okay, so like I said, North America, South America, and Africa. Okay, those are continents. Then we have Southern United States, Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, and South America get Maractus. I mean, that's kind of weird that there's that overlap there. Europe, Asia, and Australia are getting Sock. Egypt and Greece are getting Sigilyph. Eastern Hemisphere, Red Striped Form Basculin, and Western Hemisphere, Blue Striped Form Basculin. That's hard to keep track of.
Yeah, you're going to need one of those guides that shows you all the different regionals and what's in each region and all that.
I'll catch what I catch, and I'll be happy with that. That's fine.
That's right. Let's see. I'm actually kind of looking through my own collection because I find that these new ones they release, they're out there, but they're all kind of harder to find. I have 3 Rock and Rollas, so I guess that's the easiest one. I play a lot with my Bluetooth, too, so I don't always see what I'm catching. I know I raided this Timber. I saw that Timber, and I raided that. I have a Venipede and a Basculian.
I have a few Venipedes.
Yeah. So you're seeing those Venipedes? Yeah, but I mean that's all of the like new stuff I've caught, so I need to.
I also got a shiny Seviper.
I need to hatch more stuff. So. Yeah.
All right.
So there's what's going on in Pokemon Go. Let's talk about what's going on in mainline Pokemon.
All the Pokemon.
Pokemon Go, play it on the Switch.
Yeah, Pokemon Go and play it on the Switch. Because there was a big Pokemon Direct that happened this week. And they did a little bit of like, yeah, yes, home's still coming and, you know, little bits of that. They also talked about a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game that had a demo that came out. I did play that a little bit, actually. That was cute.
Is that a new game or is it just a remake?
It's a remaster, a redo, or whatever of like I think it was on Game Boy Advance, because it was around the time of Gen. I think the first 3 gens are in it. So it's a
they,
redo.
They
that
had
on
a few mystery dungeons that were on DS as well. So
they
I don't
did.
Know.
They did. I think that represent later generations. But what I played was cute. So yeah. And then they announced some this, and this is a surprise. Nobody was expecting this, but Pokemon Sword and Shield will be getting expansions that will be adding 200 more Pokemon to the games, and these are Pokemon from the past. So these are Pokemon.
I kind of figured that they would be doing this,
and some folks kind of thought, "Oh, that's what they're doing for DLC." And you know, some folks are accusing Pokemon Company and Nintendo of being, you know, greedy by doing it this way, and you know, so forth. But I kind of prefer it to what's been historically there, because if you think about it, and they said in very plain terms, this is taking the place of a third game. So there's not going to be a Pokemon gun or a Pokemon armor. Instead, there's going to be the Isle of Armor
but then,
DLC with one of the Pokemon getting a gun.
And that's, yeah, I was going to say, that's too bad because there is a Pokemon with a gun now. So. Yes.
And that is, we're referring to a new G-Max form for Inteleon. So, yeah, but anyway, and I'm sure you guys have seen all the memes at this point. But they're doing the DLC. But my point with this is that, you know, if you really sit down and think about it, you know, and what blows me away how people are still complaining about this is that this is what folks were saying they wanted, was like, oh, well, just do a Pokemon gun that has all of the old Pokemon in it. Well, guess what? You would be paying $60 for that. And usually when they do something like that, they cut Pokemon. It's not all just all new. It's not a best of the first. It doesn't eliminate the first 2 games. It has some from column A, some from column B, and not everything. This way, you're not having to buy a whole new game and play what is essentially the same plot over again, right? Because Pokemon Yellow was just fucking Pokemon Red, but with Pikachu following you. That's all it was. It wasn't that different. Like, maybe minor differences, you want to get nitpicky with me, but otherwise not that different. But this method, it's going to be cheaper overall. Yes, $30 is expensive for DLC, but that's $30 for both parts. So if they had done a Pokemon gun or whatever, it would have been a $60 game. So this is actually going
to
be cheaper.
You have to buy it twice if you have 2 different games.
You do have to buy it twice. In one. Ooh, I don't know about that. Pokemon experts, do I have to buy it twice if I own both Sword and Shield, the answer is you might for that.
That's lame. But
But see, just fucking trade for the missing ones. Like, I understand Pokemon completionists are going to need to buy it twice for that, but they also chose to be Pokemon completionists.
They also chose to buy both.
I know Shane does not give a fuck about this whole, or like in a good way. He's like, I'm all about this DLC. This is the way to do it. I'm pumped and all that. See, he will not give a fuck about paying twice if he has to. I know that already. So, I don't think people that already invested in buying the same game twice are going to worry about buying the same DLC twice because you already bought the same game twice anyway.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So, let me see. I'm actually trying to look at chat here. Okay, yeah. Shane says, yes, you have to buy a Shield one and a Sword one. Shane is also saying, how is it greedy when you don't need to buy the expansion to trade or transfer in the returning Pokemon? People just want to complain sometimes, I feel like. And ActDef follows that up with, people are still so goddamn salty about national decks, but I just rather not pay attention to the haters anymore. And you're right. It's not somebody chose to just gloss over that part of the direct where they explicitly showed, if you don't want to buy the DLC, you can still trade for the Pokemon that are in the DLC. They're not going to show up in your old game in the wild area or anything like that. They might. I don't know. Maybe one or two, but that's not in the plan. But you could trade for them. So if you really want a fucking Bulbasaur or whatever, I don't know if Bulbasaur is in the expansion. I'm just assuming. Trade for it. And that, my friends, is how it used to be done anyway. Because then people are salty about, oh, I got to trade or know these people to do this stuff. What the fuck do you think it was on the Game Boy Advance with that fucking cable? Because the people complaining about it aren't old and salty like me. They don't remember those days. That's how you used to have to do it. So there is seriously no satisfying some people.
It wasn't this trading over the internet bullshit. It was you had to be in the same room and tethered to each other.
Yeah. Anyway, Shane also points out in our chat, Bulbasaur is the expansion in one way or another since it has a G-Max form now. Oh, I actually didn't watch the direct. I just read all the new, because, you know, once you kind of read everything, you're like, all right, I've kind of seen it, but I guess I should go back and watch it at some point. So SG100 Matt in chat says, folks who are losing their minds over this need to go outside. ActDeft in chat says, I only have Shield, so it's only once. And yeah, I only have Shield too. I only plan to buy it once. If there's something I really need, I know I have a Pokemon aficionado number one fan for a friend where if I'm like, will you please get me an egg for such and such Pokemon? He'll get me an egg for such and such Pokemon. It's not that hard. You know what I mean? So, you know, just – and you know what? Even if you're sitting there going, I don't have any friends – go to VOG Network and talk to people because I'm sure there are tons of you. Raise your hand in chat if you're willing to make eggs for people that really, really want a Pokemon but can't afford the DLC. I'll fucking do it. Like, I will. So I'm sure there are plenty of people that are willing to help get you the
Pokemon.
Y'all
realize y'all are going to be my egg donors, okay?
That's that's how the world works in 2020. That is fine. I will be your egg donor. So
I will be a surrogate for those eggs on my Pokemans.
Shane also points out in Gen 5, if you wanted pre-Gen 5 Pokemon, you needed a second DS. So, yeah, this doesn't seem bad at all. And Shane is saying, I'll always help in Pokemon. And ActDev says, Galarian Slowpoke is the best. I got the shiny the same day. Oh, yeah, that was a thing they did too. So even just load up your Sword and Shield game and you go to the train station in the first town – whose name is escaping me right now, but the very first town you're in, there's a train station, and you will see one of the new characters, and the character you see depends on, so I have Shield, so I got the psychic lady with the Pokeballs spinning around her head, so, there was a Galarian Slowpoke there that I had to catch, so, and it was
What's
only
up with
12.
That Muppet-looking Galarian Meowth?
It's cute, that's just, they like to do the different stuff.
He looks like a freaking Muppet. He looks like Animal and Dr. Teeth went mud wrestling.
Oh, Shane in chat says that Avery is actually a guy, Rob. Well, you know what? It's 2020 and gender is just a suggestion, so who cares? So that's
phenomena.
Phenomena. All right. Anyhow. The Isle of Armor is in June 2020. Crown Tundra is in fall 2020. And yeah, your starter will be able to Gigantamax, which will be fun, and all that good stuff. So you can pre-order both now if you want. I don't like to give my money away until it's ready.
Who pre-orders DLC?
People.
Especially if it's digital. I mean, come on. Why?
So, Shane, when did you pre-order yours?
Already done. I'm going to tell you why. I probably wouldn't do it today, but I'll do it the week before because then it will download.
Shane says you get closing game if you pre-order. So I'll be pre-ordering.
That's what you get. Close. You get close in game if you pre-order.
Well, I'm glad that.
Yeah. Hey, some of us are fashionistas, okay?
All right. So
we like to be pretty.
All right. Anyhow, there you go. Pokemon Sword and Shield DLC. I'm excited. I think this is the way to do it. I'm happy it's this and not Sword 2, Shield 2, or Gun, or Armor. Like, this is great. I think I just didn't expect this from Pokemon. So now that it's here, I'm like, cool. And they're addressing the Nash Dex thing as a part of it. Like, I kind of didn't even think they really – I mean, we all kind of knew they'd do something, but – I mean, especially when they found the files for one of those. Remember, we had that story on an older episode that the files were in the game for one of the older ones.
Yeah,
they had like so. I would bet that's a DLC Pokemon. So there's something going on there. But anyway, all right, let's move on. Dark Sakura, a completely different story, but here we go again with things we're going to change in 2020, right?
Well, and you know how I feel about labor and unionizing. I'm a big, big fan of unions. And, of course, we've had it recently in the news where, you know, by recently I mean in the last few months, where Kickstarter got in trouble for firing members who wanted to unionize. Google was in trouble for firing members that were trying to unionize and using their work intranet to share labor laws with other people, which is, by the way, their right to do so. The employees' right to share that information because it really should be posted in public areas. But now there is a group, the CWA, and that's working with Game Workers Unite, which is a grassroots organization to work on unionizing the tech world and video game development world into a big labor union. Right now, the project is called the Campaign to Organize Digital Employees, or CODE for short. How freaking clever. To see about getting that union going on to protect people who work in those fields. You know, for example, there was another the Pittsburgh Association of Tech Professionals unionized Google subtractors successfully. You know, there is even talk at the 2019 Video Game Developers Conference about the industry's practice of making employees work over 100 hours in a week to finish a game without extra pay. Basically, we've talked about the crunch time thing before and how this abuses their employees and puts out a substandard product. So really, you know, with the walkouts at Google, the walkout at Riot Games, the claims of sexual harassment, and just in general, what's the word I'm thinking of, discrimination at some video game companies, I think it's high time we had unions to protect the workers. You know, and I'm going to tell people this for anyone who's anti-union. You know what you have to thank a union for? How about your 40-hour work week? How about such concepts as overtime? How about eliminating child labor? You want examples of what happens when workers are not protected by a union. Look at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire in the early 20th century, 1900s. Look at, construction standards. All of these come because of unions. OSHA we have to protect you at work because of fucking unions. So don't talk to me about being anti-union when you take everything that a union has given you for fucking granted. It's time that the tech field had the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where a lot of us have sort of seen this shoe's been ready to drop for some time. It's just a matter of kind of like when. So I'm very curious to see how this proceeds. What else I'm also kind of curious to hear about is the impact of AB5 in the game industry, because we haven't heard a lot about that. But we do have some very big game makers here in California, which, if you guys aren't aware, AB5 was the law here in California that talked about what is and what isn't an employee. And the targets of the law really felt like it was supposed to be Uber and Lyft, basically, is that, you know, if you work so many, you know, it's contracts or whatever, that basically this company should be treating you like an employee and you should have those types of employee benefits. Personally, I think the law is good intention, and I get what they're trying to do. I think there's some huge flaws. I have some artist friends that are really struggling with this, and some journalist friends that are now getting turned away for work because the company realized it's not a national law, it's California law, so they just want to go hire people in Nevada and Arizona and all this stuff. So I think the law needs a lot of work still, but it is a law. And so I'm curious to see how it impacts kind of the gaming industry and some of those more established things. So,
but going back into that though, is that I think that, if we do have those unions enabled, here in state, then that also does give, it gives a lot more power to be able to bargain with government agencies to have laws revised, to have that the backing of a union behind those legislative actions to protect the workers who are affected negatively by these laws. So, I mean, and if you also want to look at another recent example, I mean, SAG-AFTRA, when they had their big thing for the voice actors, you know, I think in the long run that unionizing will work out for the best, will help with those laws on the books that may be abused right now, like this new one. And also just, you know, let companies know that you can't keep taking your employees for granted. You cannot take advantage of them anymore. We are people. We have lives. We need to have those lives protected, including our rights to work in a safe environment.
Yeah. So we'll be very curious to see what develops of this. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those 2020 stories we're going to look back on in December and see how far did this really come along throughout the year. So in the meantime, we're going to move on to...
One comment by She-Hulk-10.
Please, go ahead.
99% of companies are now not employee-friendly. We are becoming a slave labor country over the next 20 years. And I mean, but that's also going back into, again, where we're seeing certain government people really putting the money on the capitalist front instead of on the workers. So hopefully that will change.
We'll see. All right. Moving on to our next story, Loki.
So there was something that kind of caught the eyes of a lot of people covering CES, and that was Alienware's Concept UFO. It is a portable PC gaming system that has detachable controllers. Where have I heard that before? Sounds kind of like the Nintendo Switch, and that's kind of what it is. It's basically like a PC version of the Nintendo Switch. It's got a 10-inch screen, so it's a little bit bigger than the Switch's 6.2-inch screen, and the joysticks on the side, or the controllers can actually detach from the system as well, and it has a little kickstand in the back, and then you can kind of combine them together, much like you can with the Joy-Cons and their little attachment as well. Right now it is just a concept, so no word on what hardware is driving here, what costs, or when it's going to be out, or anything like that. But it is neat to see, like, some sort of portable gaming type of thing. I'd be down for this. At one point I was trying to build something like this, so why not? You know, of course it's Alienware, so it's probably gonna be $1,000. So
how fast would Nintendo try to shut this down, though?
I don't think they can. It's not necessarily exactly. It's not like the Switch in the sense that you can use each individual controller as its own controller, because it's not symmetrical in that way. They would come off and basically allow you to almost like plug this into your TV or something like that to play on your TV. I don't think that they can really sue them or anything for seeing that they stole the idea. But yeah, it's definitely heavily inspired by it. You know, kind of like the PlayStation Move and the Kinect and the Switch motion controls, you know.
I think we all have also known it's really just a matter of time before, you know, the Switch idea gets borrowed by other people. So I think in some ways this news isn't that surprising. It'll just be, you know, is it going to look like a cheap knockoff like the V?
No, it doesn't look like a cheap knockoff of the V. They were showing some games running on it. It was running pretty smooth. So I don't know if it's necessarily something that's going to take off, but I mean, we'll have to see what it ends up looking like if it ever actually comes out.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, moving on. I'm going to make this real quick because one of the other things that we saw at this Consumer Electronics Show this week was the new PlayStation 5 logo.
That is not even something that needed, like, an announcement at all. It's just stupid.
It was the one piece of video game news that came out. Well, here's the thing. And maybe this is the internet making a bigger deal out of it than it really is, because Sony just kind of, like, talked about, you know, their path, trajectory, and where PlayStation's been. They did not divulge anything about the new console that's going to come later. They just showed the new logo. Now, you might think this is a missed opportunity for me to show the logo here on Twitch, but don't forget we're recording the audio for a podcast as well. So you'll have to come with me to Imagination Land, okay? So here we go. Ready, everybody? I want you to imagine the PlayStation 4 logo, okay? So
yeah, okay. Imagine.
You see in the cloud, you see a PlayStation 4 logo.
PlayStation 4 logo.
Okay, now I want you to take that 4, okay? And I want you to make it a 5.
Oh, my God.
There it is, PlayStation 5 logo. That is... as a logo for the PlayStation 5.
Honestly enough, though, I think that it's smart for them to not change it because it still fits their branding. I mean, because really, they've kept that particular branding since the PS2.
Mm-hmm.
And font and all.
I get it. Like, you know, some, you know, and I'm sure Dark Soccer, you could nerd about this because I know you're into typography and all this other stuff, too, is that you could nerd out about, like, how a font is representative to a brand and things like this, and you do see it in other places. So as much as we might be giving this announcement a little bit of shit, it is kind of one of those things where it's like, look, it ain't broke. Don't fix it. This is PlayStation's brand. This is what it looks like. Why would they change it now?
Exactly.
But I'm bummed. That's it. And they've essentially had the same damn thing since PlayStation 2, really.
The only thing with is that instead of – they've done this thing that a lot of companies have done where they've really tried to simplify things. Because, you know, for PS2, for example, it was that sort of gradated blue-purple color because, you know, the PS2 also had that strip around it that had the same color. And they've done white on black, which it's just very simple. It's simplified the branding as much as they can while still keeping that font that it's been known for. I'll be honest, I still prefer the branding from the first PlayStation. I liked the text. It was very clean. I wish that they had stuck with that for a while instead of going – because honestly, the current PlayStation font, when it's spelled out instead of just PS, it's kind of hard to read, you know, because it's more uniform in size. The thing is that people recognize words by their shape, which is why people have trouble reading things if they're all in caps. Just throwing that out there. I think, though, that at least for sake of consistency, it's a smart move. They're like, yeah, we're still here. We don't need to do anything fancy. We don't need to change it up every time because our product is fucking solid.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, so I apologize in advance because you may not have an easy answer to this question. But what would be, for comparison's sake, what do you think would be another brand that's really defined by its font?
Google.
Hmm.
Back in the day, remember, people had a big shit over them moving from a serif font to a sans serif. Another one, what was another one that changed their font? Gap did it for a little bit, and then people were like super nuts about it and switched back to Gap. In the 80s, Apple's use of Adobe Garamond Pro in their ads.
I remember that Gap controversy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, now the chat is chiming in. You ready? I think this is a great answer from SJ100 Matt. Disney.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a great answer. Bobby, with a tongue-in-cheek answer that's actually kind of legit. Vogue.
Well, yeah.
We use – I don't think it says it. We can say it, right?
We use Eurostyle.
Yeah, we use Eurostyle as the font. And that is the font that you see over in the sidebar and the low bar, and it's the same font that's in the logo.
It's on our business cards.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
I custom did the O as, you know, the power symbol, but even that
the
was
G.
built
you did the G, G
yeah, yeah, the G. But even that was built off of Eurostyle.
Yeah.
But going back into, you know, old era versus new, you can look at an Apple ad from the 80s and just even without the picture there, you can look at the font on it and know that it's an 80s Apple ad because everything was set in Adobe Garamond Pro. You can look at New York Times, their
headline logo, not their headline, but their logo is never changed. You just, all they do is the NYT, and you can look at those letters and know that they go to the New York Times. In fact, Times New Roman, that font came because of the New York Times. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look at, gosh, what else am I thinking of that's had a consistent font? There's all those companies that use Helvetica, but that's not really the same thing. You just know, oh, they're using fucking Helvetica.
A couple other answers here, and then we'll probably move on for time. DJ Roma S says Microsoft, which...
they changed theirs, though, didn't they?
Well, actually, the Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and Xbox 360 all use the same font. I don't remember about the... No, I don't think the original Xbox didn't. So they've kind of kept a consistent look since then.
Apple switched to the SF font, but it really has just been a variation of... the last two iterations of fonts that were being used.
Mm-hmm.
And now, though, you can, or even this, you can look at, like, I'd say from the OS 10.9 earlier, how they all had that same font. You could look at that and say, oh, that's from a Mac screen, you know.
And lastly, She-Hulk says Mercedes.
Mercedes, good one.
Defined by their font.
Very good one. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Great answers all around from chat and Dark Soccer, I think. Yes, and Pod Culture's saying tongue-in-cheek, thought this would be a quick topic, didn't you? Well, we ended up turning it into font nerds, so you know what? It worked.
But I think that there's something that people don't really think about with games or with anything is branding.
Sure.
You know, think about something. When you see a logo in the future... ask yourself, why is that sticking out in my head? Why is it something that I'm always going to remember? And if you want to look up one of my personal heroes, look at the logos that Saul Bass has designed. For the record, he also directed the shower scene in Psycho, just saying. He was big friends with Hitchcock. He did a lot of the movie titles for Hitchcock movies. But just look at his logo designs. He did Continental. He did Girl Scouts. He did... Delta, I think, Airlines for a little while. He did United Way. Look at his designs and look at the font choices with those and tell me why they have lasting memory.
You know what else always looks fucking consistent with branding and font and everything? A Star Wars movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's always that same font in the scroll in the beginning. It's always the credits.
The
always,
cinematography.
The credits always look the same.
Is branding too.
Yeah.
Like, you saw The Mandalorian, right?
No, I didn't.
Well, the transitions...
They use the wipes, I bet, right?
They use a lot of the wipes. They use a lot of the same transitions that they do in the movies.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we got to move on. We get to a whole other three-hour podcast about brand nerds. I'm sure that podcast actually exists. It's got to somewhere, I'm sure. All right. Anyway, let's move on. So in the sidebar, it says classic game of the week with a question mark because every week, Dark Soccer likes to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be enjoying this game this week. I hope you approve of my pick last week, by the way. I don't know if you saw what I picked. Crystal Castles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. But we did do a game last week, but, you know, it's a new year. New twist, and we've been promising this twist for some time. So, Dark Soccer, what is the 2020 twist, first off, on this segment? Once a month?
We are doing a pinball game every month, and it has to be that 90s era of pinball, pre-Pinball 2000, but post when they started using the digital displays.
Well, that's a restriction you're putting on yourself. I think the rest of us are just all pinball. Okay.
Well, so. And I'm thinking about doing other more classic pinball. You know, this also means I can't do my beloved Black Knight 2000, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but also still holding it to the same rules.
Actually,
at least.
I can do Black Knight 2000.
But you are going to still be holding it to the same rules of 10 years old, at least.
At least. Yeah. So we're basically, I can just tell you this right now. Everything's going to be from the fucking 90s.
All right. Fair enough. All right, so tonight's is the first of 12. So January's pick for the classic pinball table of the month.
Duh, World Cup soccer pinball.
I knew it was going to be this, so.
So, and I tried to get something that would show the gameplay, but the music on here is my favorite music in the damn game, which you hear for, like, all of a hot minute.
It comes in just, it has, like, a weird drum loop in the beginning, then your music comes in right after it, so yeah.
But yeah, I like the music that's, like, right when the ball lock has been activated.
Yeah.
And it only plays at this one point in the game.
I think right when it transitions to gameplay, you start to hear it.
Yeah. Right here.
Yeah.
I just think it's cool.
Yeah. And by the way, this is not footage from Dark Soccer's house. This is a YouTuber I forgot to credit. My bad.
Because I don't own Sword of Fury, and fuck if I did, I would be freaking... But you see what's next to it is a regular Black Knight?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Right, anyway.
Anyway, so...
And I will go into some video game stuff on this too. So basically, World Cup Soccer, it came out in February 1994. And my personal love of this game is that we had one at the arcade that I worked at, and I freaking played the fuck out of this game. It is, to this day, my favorite pinball table. It was designed by John Papaduke and Larry DeMar. Papaduke, in and of himself, he's also responsible for Theater of Magic. So another, you know, big one. You've definitely seen Papaduke stuff. It does have some special toys, as were a little bit marked for that era of pinball. It has a spinning soccer ball that when you've lit up all these items, which makes the goal light up, makes the goalie move, the ball will start spinning. True story, Dan had my ball spinning backwards when we first got the table, so you can imagine how freaking hard it was. Because you can bounce off the ball to knock it into the goal. But that's the big thing, is that it has the soccer or football theme to it. There were 8,743 units confirmed produced. It has two flippers, three pop bumpers, two ramps, a roll under spinner, kickback, magnet save located on the playfield above the left flipper that is activated by an extra button on the left side of the cabinet. There is a magnet lock located on the middle left playfield that holds the balls for multi-ball play. A goalie target that moves side to side at the top left playfield, and a maximum of three buy-in balls per player under the operator option. The art was done by Kevin O'Connor. So, you know, it's just really one of the great ones on there. This particular one, people kind of overlook it a little bit. Just because, soccer theme, whatever, but they don't realize that the game has actually had some pretty significant design to it. Even my husband, funny enough, he was like, I didn't, you know, really appreciate this one until, you know, you were all hyper about getting one. And then when we got one, he's like, oh, yeah, I really like it. So you can, of course, if you go to the Internet Pinball Database, you can get the rule sets for this table if you want to know the ins and outs of it. I would say for anyone who wants to go play pinball and get good at playing pinball, even if you're just going to your arcade to play it, go to the Internet Pinball Database and look up the rules and see, you know, what tricks you can do, how to get, like, your jackpots, how to get your different modes lined up in the game. So going with this one is that for... I have a hole in my sock that makes me sad. Anyway, I just noticed my favorite socks too. But anyway, for the Pinball Arcade, it was available as DLC, and it was removed on June 30th, 2018. It was published as World Champion Soccer because Farsight Studios were unable to secure the World Cup Soccer license from FIFA. And it had, like, all kinds of different things to it. But they also changed, like, the back glass and everything. But it was roughly the same table. So some trivia about this one is that for the... it looks like for the bonus round, and I don't know if this is just for the digital versions or the arcade, because I haven't really looked, is that Raiden from Mortal Kombat is a cameo in the bonus round. And then the flyer for the machine shows an American football field, as in, you know, like American football, instead of a soccer field in the background. But the stadium shown is Soldier Field in Chicago that had many of the 1994 World Cup matches there, including the opening match for 1994 World Cup. So that is your game. It is World Cup Soccer. And I will also, for the sake of chat, provide a link from pinside.com, which is another great resource for pinball information. It's just really, don't poo-poo on it because it's soccer. It really is a solid game. Again, Papaduke, other things that he designed, like I said, Theater of Magic is really the big one. I'm trying to get it to load the list of his
games. That makes so much sense, because Theater of Magic also has another one of those, like, gigantic things in the middle of the table that's so important. I guess a lot of pinball tables have that, but
Theater of Magic is fucking amazing.
I love Theater of Magic.
Well, you know I have that too.
Yeah, I do.
But yeah, Papaduke did a Circus Voltaire.
He did Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, Star Wars Episode 1, Tornado, Tales of the Arabian Nights. Okay, so funny thing about this one. At Moby Dick in San Francisco in the Castro, they have World Cup Soccer, Theater of Magic, and Tales of the Arabian Nights all next to each other.
Like
in the back
three of the greatest tables.
And they're all John Papadou.
I don't know if they still do.
They do.
Oh, do they? Wow.
Yeah, one of my buddies who works at Cliffs, the fabric side of Cliffs, was actually the one who told me that they were still there.
Oh,
and
okay.
He sent me pictures recently. So. But yeah, just in, if you're in San Francisco, go to the Castro. If you want to try these three amazing Papadou tables, all three of them are at Moby Dick.
All right.
And then you can get your drink on.
All right, there it is, your classic pinball table of the month. World Cup Soccer 94. All right, very cool.
Y'all just can't come to my house.
The first,
unless you bring me,
unless you're me,
chocolate, unless you're Rob. Or
the first to that should be a contest in the future. Win a trip to Dark Soccer's house. Okay. Kind of
y'all
like,
can sleep on my air mattress on the floor.
Kind of like the old, like, win a trip to Nickelodeon Studios and tour the studios and get slimed on the set of You Can't Do That on Television. Things like that. Like, they should, we should do a win a trip to Dark Soccer's house. And yeah, anyway. All right. Let's move on. We got more topics to get into here. Plenty of show left, and it's about 8:20.
So I'm really sad about my sock now. Because I can't replace these. They don't sell them anymore.
I'm sorry.
Look at my socks, everybody. They have cats.
All right, moving on. Let's talk to Loki and get some rapid-fire news.
So, you know, who says old games can't be updated to offer new things? So apparently some of the console ports of Doom and Doom 2 have received some new updates to add a lot of new support. So, for example, 60 FPS support. So now Doom runs actually at 60 FPS instead of 35 FPS. Add-on support. So add-ons can be downloaded and played from the main menu. So they can do a mixture of Doom and Doom 2 add-ons, as well as some community episodes and megawads. Added aspect ratio options to the original 4:3. Added quick save and quick load, level select, weapon carousel, quick weapon select, brightness and level brightness, random sound effects, pitch toggle, they have a new HUD for split screen. It's a minimal HUD to give you some more space to see in there, and change the health graphics and change Wolfenstein secret level.
Did you know this is available on PC as well?
Yeah.
If you bought the game on the Bethesda store. If you bought it on Steam, fuck you. That's, yeah, I was a little salty about that.
What about GOG?
Nope, Bethesda store. That's it. Because it has to be this particular 2019 or 18 re-release that they did. Remember when the big meme going around, you have to have a BethesdaNet account to continue?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Okay, that was from when they re-released Doom everywhere. So you're... version of Doom has to be one of those that was part of that meme joke. So if you don't have a version of Doom that had that, then it doesn't qualify.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I guess I miss out. Who cares?
No.
And then this is kind of cool, but apparently there's a brand new mod of Grand Theft Auto Vice City Remastered that they have basically dumped the map of Grand Theft Auto Vice City into Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC. So I guess you can go ahead and check it out now before it gets cease and desist. But at least it's available right now in 5 mods.
Get it now before it's gone.
Get it while
it'll
it
be
lasts.
Gone. All right. Moving on. Nintendo apparently filed a new trademark for a Mario and Luigi game. But wait a minute. Didn't they close the studio behind that? Well, something may be going on here. So Nintendo of America filed a new trademark in South America. And it says the trademark will be for computer game cartridges, game memory cards, and so on and so on. This could just be them making sure their intellectual property doesn't go away or anything like that. But it should, you know, just caught people's eyes. Like, why now? Why this? So putting it out there. Also from Consumer Electronics Show, the Retron Junior. It plays Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance games all on your TV. It's this teeny tiny little box that connects to the TV via an HDMI, and then it will output the games in 720p. It has a Super Nintendo-style Scout controller that connects to the console, and so you can actually play all your portable games on your TV. But that's for those of you that want to go back and play your old Pokemon games. There's how you can do it.
Can I get a link cable to connect it to another Retron Mini that I can then transfer my Pokemon across?
There is a 3.5-millimeter headphone socket and link port, which allows two Retron Junior systems to be connected together for games which support multiple players.
Awesome.
How about that?
Hell yes. They thought of everything.
They thought of everything. And the kitchen sink. All right. Dark Sakura.
Well, the game artist for the Silent Hill series, the early Silent Hill series, Ito Masahiro, has teased on Twitter that he is working on a title as a core member, and they hope it won't be canceled. He was one of the members of Team Silent, and just his art was absolutely haunting. One of really the things that made Silent Hill. I have one of the lithographs, thanks to Shane for Silent Hill 2. It's one of my favorite things. I think he signed it, too. But just one of my favorite artists, and I'm super, super happy, and I hope it is something very Silent Hill-ish, and that maybe he might... I've got this dream in my head that he's working on something with Kojima.
Anything's possible.
In my head. In my heart. And then also AGDQ 2020, which I brought this up earlier, they broke 3 million. They were so close to Pi Million, Rob. They made it to 3.13 million for Prevent Cancer Foundation. And it is the second GDQ that has raised more than $3 million in the marathon. It had 54,134 donors as of 11 a.m. Eastern time yesterday, I believe. No, this morning, I think. And it raised more than 700,000 above what AGDQ raised last year, which is a 30% increase. And it's absolutely amazing to see what happens when people put together for good, when they do so much fun. I watched the Animorphs run. It was fucking hilarious. Just the guy they had doing Animorphs. And then he hung around jawing with some other people. He was absolutely hilarious. I had a really good time watching this. I'm glad I got to contribute. And the Summer Games Done Quick, which is their next one, is happening June 21st through 28th in Bloomington, Minnesota. For this particular one, though, there were 134 games that were run over the event, including the incentive and honk. Honk. That's it.
All right. Congrats to the folks at Awesome Games Done Quick for another very successful year. So breaking 3 million is no, I remember when breaking 2 million was the big deal. So it was
their
great.
First one was like a few hundred thousand.
Yeah. So they've come a long, long way. And that's, I mean, that's, then it's great for a great charity. So
yeah.
Always love to report on the good news in the gaming world.
There's so not enough of it.
Let's travel around and check out some world release dates. I don't know if it's a busy week this week, but it should be starting to pick up again.
It's not busy, but it's decent for January. I mean, so we've got a few things. Starting off with Outlier Dust Trilogy, the deluxe pack coming on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. We have Puzzle and Dragon Gold on Nintendo Switch. We've got Dragon Ball Z Kakarot on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Tokyo Mirage looks like Sessions FE Encore, and that's coming out on Nintendo Switch. And then finally, we've got Yakuza Like a Dragon on PlayStation 4. That's it.
All right, going to Japan. It's a little bit of a slower week in Japan as well. On the Nintendo Switch, we have Maisetsu Pier Station comes out this week. And then the big release is probably the Tokyo Mirage Sessions. Appears to be a world release this week. Mm-hmm. So it's also coming out in Japan the exact same day. And that's probably going to be a pretty big deal over there But the PlayStation 4, not to be left out, is getting some releases still. Sangoku Shi 14 in a regular and treasure box. A game called Kandakawa Jet Girls DX Jet Pack is in a regular and limited edition. And then Yakuza Like a Dragon is also out there. And Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is out on the PlayStation 4 as well. So that's what you have to look forward to in Japan. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Some stuff. So we have Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Collectors, Enhanced Edition Collectors Pack. That is on the 16th. We also have Planescape Torment Icewind Dale, same on the 16th, and Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition. We also have Creed Rise to Glory on January 16th. For PlayStation, we have Beamdog Ultimate Collectors Pack, which is the first three games I mentioned. Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Encore. Also on the 16th.
Just real quick, the chatters are saying that hashtag is supposed to be the sharp sign of music, so it's sharp FE. Just
sharp.
Yeah.
Okay.
You wouldn't know by looking.
Sessions. So, and also, I was reading what was on the description.
I know.
And Dragon Ball Z Kakaroto, also on the 16th.
Okay. There's your release dates. So let's go to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read our favorite emails and our least favorite emails here on the program. Do we have any emails tonight?
We do.
Okay.
So, of course, no one has guessed my favorite brand of chocolate.
Well, then you can bring the Phil's coffee here.
I will, although they don't make it in K-Cups. Phil's is all pour over. Dear Tangerine Cafe Station, what? I just want to chime in my thoughts regarding the discussion you had about the Nintendo Switch's lackluster interface. There's something I loved about the 3DS, and that was the fact I could open it up to hear Amy Rose's theme, My Sweet Passion, playing from the speakers with that bubbly pink background. Themes! I was super bummed that these didn't get carried over to the Switch, and it definitely lets us freshen up the menu to match our own unique tastes. Just look at the PS4 and its wide selection available in the store. It's great. Currently, I can power on my PS4 to the cool slow jam of Beneath the Mask from Persona 5 while Makoto looks at me with a judging look like I'm about to be booted off Love Island. I want this same experience on the Switch, and I hope Dearest Daddy Doug Bowser can make my dreams come true. Thanks for reading, Garth Wolf. Okay. Your dear daddy, huh? Anyway, next email is taking a while to load. There we go. This is... Okay, it's the same thing that I was talking about. We just got a release about the Communication Workers of America. So I thought this was like a legit email, but this is a marketing email outlining the story that I said earlier. But there are some quotes on here that I would like to read. Companies in the technology and game industries have gotten away with avoiding accountability for far too long. That's according to President Chris Shelton of CWA. Workers in these industries are exposing the reality behind the rhetoric. This initiative will help tech and game companies reach next level in their efforts to exercise their right to join together and demand change. But hey, we got on an official press release. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Now, if you want to hire me to be your speaker and do podcasts for you, I'll fucking do it. I do like money, though. So, I won't do it for free. Just saying. But yeah, that seems to be it for the mailbag. I am really irritated, chatters, that I haven't got any more email from you guys, because today I was actually excited about reading email and... Yeah. So, where's the rest of my emails? You haven't guessed. Okay, I need to give y'all another idea of what chocolate I like. I also like your shirt that says that's too much bacon, so no one ever. Loki.
Yes.
Okay. So, my favorite brand of chocolate is an American company. I believe they're American. They are fair trade and do not engage in companies that use slavery for their chocolate sourcing. And they are not Giardelli. So. And Rob is a quality human who brought me popcorn.
I know. She made me get in the kitchen and cook for her while she was doing the mailbags.
Right.
So, all right.
But it's for everybody, popcorn. It's for everybody.
All right.
This kettle corn, too, is delicious. Sorry, not sorry.
Let's move on. Loki, we got some more news still to get to, right?
So, yeah, so this is kind of interesting. So, basically, according to Xbox's Matt Booty, he confirmed that for the first-party Xbox Series X games, they're not going to be exclusive for at least the first year or two. So apparently, they said, as our content comes out over the next year, 2 years, all of the games, sort of like PC, will play up and down the family of devices. We want to make sure that someone invests in Xbox between now and the Series X, that they feel that they made a good investment. Meaning that they're kind of treating this console like a cell phone or a tablet or something like that, to where, yeah, it'll play on the Xbox One or Xbox One X, but the fidelity of the graphics and the features may not be as great as, say, the Series X.
Here's the thing. I thought that was supposed to be... I mean, I thought we already knew that. I thought they had said that some time ago.
But it's, I think, more of a confirmation.
That... Yeah, it is. It is a bit of a confirmation, but also I thought this was going to be the case forever. I didn't think it was just going to be the case for the first year or two. That's what's striking me odd about this news.
Well,
to be honest, I just not understand that.
I don't
correctly.
Know if it's forever because, like with modern devices now, they only support so far back. Like there's certain games that are going to get to a technical point where you can't do that on those systems. Maybe necessarily natively, but maybe they'll say, yeah, you can't play this on natively on the platform, but we have xCloud that you can stream it. That
yeah,
way.
I kind of thought that was going to be a
so it's
thing
like okay, yeah, you might not be able to purchase, say, Halo Infinite 5 or whatever, down the road, but you'll be able to stream it with xCloud or who knows, it may be part of Games Pass. And
Swang Tong in chat says, "Sheesh, with all these studios, MSBot, and nothing." I don't think that's quite what we mean when we say exclusives. We're talking about things that will only play on Xbox Series X and not the prior Xbox.
Right, so they'll
consoles.
Be exclusive to Microsoft consoles, but they're...
But we already know about Hellblade 2. That is a game that will be exclusive to the Microsoft, and that comes from a studio that Microsoft bought.
Right.
So
they'll have that, but you'll also be able to play it on Xbox One X. So basically what they're telling you now is like, hey, if you're in the market to get an Xbox One and you're like, whoa, I don't want to buy an Xbox One and then have to turn around and buy an Xbox Series X, they're like, well, you know what? Don't worry about it because you'll be at least able to play these brand new games for the next few years. You won't have to worry about being kind of shut out of those.
Yeah, I just sort of figured out figured the cloud support would help that go on a much longer, forever type of deal. I guess nothing.
And
lasts
it
forever,
might, but at some point though, much like the Xbox 360 and stuff, they have to kind of cut out those old systems because they want to do more advanced technical stuff with it, and it's just not going to be possible on that kind of hardware. It's going to be too old.
She-Hulk 10 says, "Will not run at max settings on old consoles, 4K HDR." Yeah, but not everybody is necessarily going to have a 4K TV anyway. I still don't have a 4K TV. So, because I bought a fucking TV right before 4K became really cheap. And so I'm like, God damn it, I'm just going to drive that one into the ground.
My wife and our father-in-law also just purchased a TV for her mom. So, a 65-inch 4K TV is $500. They've come down in price. So, and that thing, they went from a 40-inch to a 65-inch. So it's just boom. it's huge now.
All right. So, yeah, I got to work on upgrading the TV at some point. We'll see. Anyway, an interesting report has come out about streaming in the year 2019. So, and I mean video game streaming, meaning sites like the one you're on right now, Twitch, watching this show. Well, I guess not necessarily because you'd be on the podcast, but for those that are live on Sunday, you're on Twitch, of course, which is one of the larger players in the
game.
Or
it could be the rebroadcasts, or not rebroadcasts, but they could be watching the wonderful archives that you...
Of course.
And if you subscribe.
Thank you for the cheap plug. Yes, please subscribe. Then you can watch all the archives. But that is also on Twitch. So,
right.
An interesting kind of study talking about data from Stream Elements and a site called Arsenal.gg. talking a little bit about some of the game streaming statistics. Apparently, Facebook gaming has been on the rise. December 2019 brought it an 8.5% market share. So that is, quite a jump in the market share there, compared with 3.1% from the year before. So that's quite the increase, which I gotta be honest, I've never watched a Facebook game thing ever, but I've seen it in my feed because Facebook has tried to shove it down my throats.
Yes.
But do you know how I fixed that problem? I uninstalled the Facebook app from my phone, and that was my New Year's thing. And I gotta say, I'm only about 11 days in, but it feels fucking great. Like, I'm checking Instagram a lot more. And that's, which is funny because that's a Facebook company. I darn well know that. But as far as, the Facebook updates and all that, you know, toxic shit that's out there on Facebook, I don't see it as much. I mean, I say as much because I still check on the desktop on the weekends, you know, and sometimes at night and stuff, but I'm not like continuously hitting the fucking IV for more content.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
I fixed Twitter a little bit by blocking any. And so, you know, because any of the advertisements that you see, they're sponsored tweets or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's always an account. So yeah. I block every single one of those accounts I see come up. And I hardly get advertisements.
You know, Vogue has used that in the past, just so you know.
Well, no, but
during the E3 years.
I understand but like, you know, I block all those, so I don't see – I hardly see advertisements anymore.
Well, we haven't done it since, for what it's worth. But, but that's a personal choice just because also I'm not thrilled with where Facebook is going and how they're trying to get their hands in every pot. And game live streaming is – I got some email that was like, come stream on Facebook gaming. And I was just like, I think the fuck not. So that was that. So cut back on Facebook, you guys. You'll feel so much better. I'm not saying you have to delete it or get rid of it, but just, you know.
I can't find anything of importance on there anyways. It's usually just, like, advertisements for stuff. Like, that's the thing about, like, these how they supposed to, like, track your activity so that they can advertise to you. It's like you're just advertising for things I've already bought. Like, I don't need a computer desk because I already bought a computer desk for my son. That's already done. Like, I don't need, like... this stuff, rollerblades.
Anyway, do you know what I did? Is I put the icon. So I put the icon in its place where Facebook used to be. I put LiveJournal where Facebook used to be. No, seriously, the first like 2 days, I couldn't tell you how many times, just out of habit, I tapped that icon and just brought up the LiveJournal login page, and I was like, God damn it! I played myself again. But that's all part of taking the Band-Aid off. So
I'm going back to Tumblr.
Tumblr? What's on Tumblr these days?
Fandom and bunnies and pure things.
I like bunnies. All right. Anyway, back to the story, which talks about game streaming data. So Twitch still has the most hours. They're up to 728 million hours, but their share dropped from 67.1% to 61%. That's still over half, but probably because Twitch is starting to get challenged a little more from companies like Facebook and other companies like YouTube, which YouTube Gaming, specifically YouTube Gaming, not all of it, because I think if you were to weigh in all of YouTube, you'd have a lot more. But they are at 27.9% of the share. And then Mixer has 2.6% of the share. That's up from 2%. And this despite some of the big names.
Oh, I wholly intend to believe that, you know, Facebook will get overtaken by Mixer this year easy.
Just, let's hope. Just I would watch 50 Mixer streams before I ever watch a Facebook stream.
Yeah, just like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
I just use the Facebook streaming for watching drag queens paint.
That's different, you know? Like, that's not gaming streaming anyway. And honestly, I'll watch drag queens painting on YouTube. Like, you can get a lot of that there.
I cannot believe I'm eating this whole bowl of popcorn. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, oh my God, all I ever get is drag queen videos in my recommends, because like one time I watched a Jake Yance video and now it's who is going to be exposed tonight. That is all that comes up on my YouTube recommends.
Well, you can just
I'm about to delete that site.
Well,
too.
No, you don't have to delete it. You can just take those videos and then say, I don't like this. And then it'll ask
but
you.
But I've stopped letting you do that.
Hold on.
But stop letting you do that on YouTube. You can't do that anymore.
No, I did it. I did it today because I was once again, I did I did research to try to find the perfect TV for my mother-in-law. And we got to the store, and I was giving them my recommendations about the specs because I did this the whole week and stressed myself out. And all they did is like, I like that one. It's like, like fucking hell. Like, but that one, the picture is not as great as that one. I like that one. That one's nice. The picture is nice. I'm like, fine. I don't care anymore. It's like, okay, whatever. So I have a bunch of like TV like review things in my feed. So I clicked on those. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. And then they're like, well, why? And I'm like, I don't want recommendations based on this one video that I watched. And so it will stop sending that stuff through. And not necessarily get rid of everything, but at least like cut down on like if you're getting certain types of things.
Okay, well, it's good to know. I'll have to remember that for the future. So, all right. All right, well, let's move on and talk about, I guess, kind of one of those like gaming does a good thing type of stories. So, which I think Jason hinted at in the beginning, actually.
Yes, and I was super proud to read this. So there was a gamer, the gamers, that's all we talk about. But his name was Aiden Jackson, a 17-year-old gamer in the UK. And he was talking with an American friend. Apparently, his friend heard him go silent on the line, and he kept. The person's name was Dia, by the way. I think it was a she. Yeah, said that that there wasn't any response on the line. That it sounded really sudden and really terrible, and so she called emergency. Well, she tried to get through to emergency services for his area in the UK. And when she couldn't, she got to non-emergency services and said that she's talking to her friend online. He was unresponsive, but she had the address and was able to direct them. And his parents didn't even know. And so they didn't know anything about it until the emergency services arrived at the door. And then they found him unresponsive on the floor, or barely responsive on the floor. He had had a seizure. So because of an online gamer across the world, they're able to save him from a potentially life-threatening situation.
Yeah. Thank you, Internet. It's
certainly a frightening situation.
Yeah.
Her thing says is that... I'll just read you what she said. I just put my headset back on and I heard what could only be described as a seizure. So obviously I started to get worried and immediately started asking what was going on and if he was okay. When he didn't respond, I instantly started to look up the emergency number in the EU. When that didn't work, I had to hope non-emergency would work. It had the option for talking to a real person, and I can't tell you how quickly I clicked that button. So there you go. I actually do keep a list of emergency services for my international friends. Just because.
Since Pop Culture brought it up in chat, I will read it. Pop Culture said, here's one thing Facebook was good for. You calling the police for me a couple of years ago. This story reminded me of that. I did. There was a status update that I found very concerning, and that is the thing that happened. So you're right. Sometimes internet friends can help each other out in those types of ways. So very important and good to know. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about, I like this, too, as far as like classic gaming kind of goes, because this is a game inspired by classic games.
Exactly. So VVV, they, released the source code for the game. So apparently I believe it was right after the run on AGDQ, basically saying, hey, guess what? Surprise. It's open source now. So now you can actually download the code for the game on GitHub and take a look at it. And then there's even, some other, like, stuff you can look at in there. Not necessarily something you want to, you know, use if you're trying to, like, make your own custom levels. They have the make-and-play version of the game, I guess, if you want to do that. That might be a little bit easier, but at least you can kind of tinker around and see how the game was made. So, pretty cool.
And if you've never played VVVV, it's great.
Like, yeah, you should really do it.
God, it's been given away free. I don't know how many times. You probably have it in some collection or another. But even if you have to pay a couple bucks for it, it's really reasonable. So
it's a great game. Yeah. Really hard.
Bobby, I guess, took a look at the source code. He's in our chat room saying, the game was so terribly written, the source code is amazing. It just shows that games are a patchwork of crappy code, and that means your code doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to work. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? All right. And lastly tonight, before we start to look at our Discord to see if we have any calls over at vognetwork.com/discord, has to do with Steam kind of revamping the way that they work soundtracks. So now you don't have to actually own a video game in order to have the soundtrack, because previously soundtracks were quantified or categorized, I suppose, as DLC.
Yeah.
They're taking that away, so now it is a soundtrack app type. So it will let you use a soundtrack, and then you can, you know, manage that within the Steam library. And apparently a developer can convert their DLC to soundtrack stuff today, and that will work. And then this could – some folks are saying this could mean that technically you could have a game that was exclusive to Epic Store, but they could still sell the soundtrack on Steam. I don't know whether Steam would want to list that or not, but who knows. I guess it depends on you know, the agreement between all those folks and the publisher. I went into my Steam library today to see if I had anything that was like soundtracks, but I didn't see anything yet. But I'm thinking maybe things just haven't been converted. I don't usually buy a lot of standalone soundtracks either, but I figured I've bought enough like combo stuff on Steam that probably got, you know what I mean? Like I had stuff included. Like you bought the exclusive year of the whatever edition that comes with the soundtrack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I didn't see any of that when I went into my Steam.
Well, library. A lot of that stuff that I have with soundtracks tends to be in Humble Store. So mm-hmm. I have a ton of soundtracks sitting in there.
That's very true. So anyway, the soundtrack feature should debut on January 20th. Oh, I see. It's still behind the scenes right now. Maybe that's why I'm not really seeing everything there. So right now is the conversions kind of going on behind the scenes. So maybe you'll see more when that officially launches. Valve is not turning into a music store or anything like this. This is just a way for them to kind of put soundtracks in their own category and let them stand on their own, as opposed to being a footnote to something that comes with the game. So I think that's kind of a nice little change, if nothing else. So, excuse me. All right. So I'm going to check our green room over at vognetwork.com/discord. While I take a peek there, do we want to get into any last minute stories?
Yes. Let's talk about Minecraft School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. It's a 4-year project that brings a Harry Potter themed RPG to vanilla Minecraft. And it's a project right now that's being supported by Patreon. They're hoping to release it later this month for free. And it's, I guess, from the Flu Networks, which is a YouTube group. So interesting. They have different like stuff you can do in there. They have different classes, summoning Patronuses. You know, you can do Quidditch. Looks pretty amazing, actually.
I'm all for people seizing Harry Potter and making it their own right now. That's pretty cool with all everything that's going out else in the world. Right, Dark Sakura? It now belongs to the fans, right? It
belongs to the fans. Just don't give it any money.
Harry Potter belongs to the fans
now. It looks
now.
Pretty
this is a
amazing.
Great way to do it.
Like, it's seriously pretty awesome looking. So check amazing. That out hopefully later this month. I may have to check that out later this month. It looks pretty cool.
All right, anything else?
That's it. That's all I found.
They had the stuff on the postage stamps and stuff that didn't make the show roll.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have some classic game postage stamps for Royal Mail.
I'm eating popcorn. It's really good. It's
so that was kind of
the best.
That was kind of neat. I thought it was funny, though, because, well, it's, you know, because it's, you know, the Royal Mail. So it's obviously, you know, European games. So they had like Worms. Dizzy was one of the ones in there. Like, some of these games that you may not think, well, Dizzy, I know that's not really popular over here.
But. No, but it was a huge, it was either, was it a Commodore game or a ZX Spectrum game? I don't remember, but it was, I know Dizzy. Dizzy was released here. We have a version of it. It just wasn't as big of a title here as it was in the UK.
Right. And then I'm trying to remember the other ones real quick. I'm trying to pull it up. Let's see. I don't know. It was just a few games, but I'm surprised they haven't done anything like that over here yet. Like, any sort of, like, have they done any classic gaming stamps over here?
Ours really tend to be people.
Weren't there like Pac-Man ones?
There might have been. I feel like Pac-Man. There might have been like some 80s ones. But, well, you can make your own damn stamp in this day and age, you know?
So. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, okay. So they had, let's see here. So it looks like it is
Tomb Raider, Worms, and other.
Elite. They've got Sensible Soccer, Wipeout, Dizzy, Worms, Lemmings, Micro Machines, and Populous.
Those are all very like UK developed games. It's a pretty good list. Pretty good list to use there. I like that. So, all
right. And apparently they were says the chosen franchises were nominated by the British gaming body Yuki, and they were, let's see, as well as apparently they had the Mean Machines editor and journalist Julian Jazz Ragnall and author Sam Dyer, who put together some gaming compendiums like Commodore 64, a visual compendium, and the Metal Slug, The Ultimate History.
Now, my next question is, when was the last time any of you sent a piece of mail?
I actually send cards regularly to my mother.
Okay. Oh, that's okay.
And to other people. You know, so it looks like there were some stamps for the U.S. that were designed and approved, but not set up.
Here's another thing I was going to talk about that we
wait.
Did.
I have something. Can I have? I want to do a story. No, I think this one's important actually, because Infinity Ward announced this week that they will be donating the proceeds of for Call of Duty Modern Warfare. There is an Outback pack that is coming out. Well, what do we need to be thinking about? We're thinking about the Outback right now. Those horrific wildfires that are going on all over Australia. Like it is bad, you guys. So 100% of the net proceeds from Activision's Outback pack. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, especially for such a, you know, cause that's so hoping all my friends down there are safe.
Another thing that was shown off at CES this year was some new PCs by Origin. And so what makes these kind of unique is they this is kind of following up their PC called the Big O. So it's basically a computer and console built into one tower. So you have the PlayStation 4 Pro and then the Xbox One SAD.
Is it guaranteed to give you a Big O?
Maybe. No, but it's actually got some pretty cool stuff. So they have not only on the PC side do they have like an actual PC and everything, but they also have a capture card so you can, you know, stream your console games and capture it with one box, which is kind of cool. The problem is, though, is the price is pretty expensive. So you've got it's $2,500 is what it starts at.
All right.
That's neat, I guess.
All right. Well, no calls are waiting to come in, and that's okay because we've run a little long tonight. What a shock. So I think we're getting ready to wrap up shop here tonight. Thank you guys, of course, for tuning in tonight, staying up late with us. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, hey, you are wonderful too. I do want to remind everybody, no show next week. We're not even going to tape something in advance. We're giving ourselves a week off, and I think I don't want to sound cocky or egotistical, but I think we deserve it. We worked through the holidays. We had a show every week during the holidays, so we're going to take our holiday a little late this year. But speaking of holiday, let's not forget Martin Luther King Jr. because we're getting a long weekend because of that. So just, you know, you might want to take a minute to just kind of reflect on what the things he had to say might mean for you and what you can do to help live out that dream. But we'll be back to do that again in 2 weeks, or to do our show again in 2 weeks. I'm hoping, I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but I'm hoping we're going to have some fun little changes in the next couple weeks and really bring OLR into 2020. So Orange Lounge Radio for a new decade.
Well, it took us how long to get out of 1995?
That's what year is it? It's not 1995 still. So
of course, everyone knows I'm talking about the computer.
All right. This computer? No,
the
it's
last
on XP.
One. XP. Oh, XP.
Yeah.
Ooh. So out of 2002.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. So we will not be back next week, but we will be back in 2 weeks, and we look forward to seeing you all then. So what? You know what that means? This week, gaming news is going to blow the fuck up. So hold on and look out, everybody.
Hold on to your pants.
We hope everybody has a good week and happy gaming and all that good stuff. If you liked what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put on air, then we're stuck. So get more people. And a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes goes an awful long way, and we really appreciate it. So let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts and check on out of here. So, Dark Sakura, I know you're ready for a nap, so.
I am super freaking tired. Like, it's just with everything going on. I have to go back to work tomorrow. Real life is happening again. Just, oh my God, I'm tired.
Fair enough. Do you have an official final thought, or?
Oh my God, I'm tired.
Okay. My final thought tonight is, kettle corn. Yum. Thanks, Dark Sakura. I'm glad I didn't get all stuck in my teeth. That's why I always don't like eating popcorn.
I had to pick a half a kernel out of my gums, though. That was freaking weird. Like the tooth armor no one wants.
I almost always have to, like, after eating popcorn, like, go get my vibrating toothbrush and get everything out of there. Or actually,
you have to pleasure your mouth with the vibrating.
I will tell you what has changed my life in that regard is the water pick that shoots the water, but nothing gets stuck. So
I just use those little flossers.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, too. Last but not least, Loki, your final thought.
Can't wait to get my rollerblades this week. I ordered. Okay, so like I ordered.
Talk about 1995.
Well, I wanted, my kids got skates, so I wanted to get new blades in, because I used to technically it's inline skates, so whatever. So I used to rollerblade a ton when I was, you know, in high school and all that. And I still do pretty well with it. So I decided to get a fancy pair of skates from France. And they don't sell them here because, like, people that take rollerblading seriously, not in this country. So I had to import it from Canada. And they only come in European sizes. So my dumbass decided to try to measure my foot correctly and order them. And I did. And I even increased the size. And they were too small. And then I looked at my shoe and I'm like, son of a bitch, there's European sizes in my shoe. I could have ordered the fucking correct size in the first place. So I had to do all that crap. At least they were pretty good. They shipped it back for free. They cross-shipped the other one, so I'll get them this week. But I was so disappointed. All I want to go blading this weekend.
Oh, I'll be curious to hear how that goes.
I had to get my Vibrams.
Have a good time at the Broccoli Farm. Have a good time in San Francisco. And I will have a good time at the musical. So everybody have a good time. You have a good time out there, no matter what it is you're doing this week. Even if you're just sitting on your butt playing games all week, I hope those games are awesome. We will see you in 14 days to do this all over again. Until then, have a great week, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.